Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on? You guys know what time it is. It's 9 p.m. on Tuesday. It's time for V's at the Dock, where everyone comes. I'm your host, Ms. V, and I have my handsome co-host, James Acevedo, with me. What's going on, sweetie?
Hey, what's up, lady? How you doing? Oh, can you hear me? Hello.
I'm still here. I'm multitasking.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, did you get this connected or something? Yes, and this is live, ladies and gentlemen, by the way. V's After Dark, where everyone comes.
Yeah, I'm multitasking. On Tuesday night, I'm multitasking.
Where anything can happen.
Oh, my God. Anything. So what's going on, people? What's going on, James?
Yes.
You know, this is a change for me. I'm preparing for those y'all who like, what's going on? Why is she so off-key? I'm actually going to be on Sexy and Biz tomorrow night, so I was doing some prep for that. And, you know, it's been crazy. You know, I don't even have a topic of the week.
This week is being flipped.
I'm actually being interviewed this week, not one but two nights,
because
James is gonna ask me all kind of questions, and then I'll be Sexy and Biz tomorrow night. So it's gonna be, you know, for those y'all who say, "Well, why is it interesting?" It's been about what, 8 or 9 months since I've been on a show being interviewed, and for me to go back to back.
Well,
so that's a rarity.
I remember you being interviewed somewhere near a few months back, which I never heard from somebody.
Yeah, I was Poppy Chulo.
Yeah.
Poppy Chulo. And, but I'm always on Poppy Chulo, so.
Okay,
I mean, I shouldn't say that it doesn't matter, but I'm, like, always on the Poppy Chulo show. That's, like, my second home.
Oh, that's nice.
But it's been a while, I mean, since I've been back-to-back interviews. You know,
that's great. That's
so
awesome. You're welcome.
And to be on my show and to be interviewed, you know, that's even more so. After coming off, we're supposed to, let's put some things out there in case I forget them tonight. I know you guys have been listening, and we're supposed to be taking a break next week. Well, we're not taking a break. We're going to take our break in August now.
Yay!
The reason being is because next Tuesday we have the beautiful and the sexy Tori Lane coming on.
Yes. Yeah, so
and if you guys have never seen Tori Lane,
I will now.
Y'all are gonna love this. Y'all gonna love this conversation, because
awesome.
I'm gonna put her ass on the hot spot. I'm putting her on the hot seat for a question I asked at Exotica.
Ooh.
And I asked her a question and she had to follow up on it.
Oh.
So,
wow.
I hope Tori done did her fucking research, because I asked if this was a part. This was not a private question.
Okay,
I did not ask
obviously.
It privately. There was a form where they were like asked the porn stars questions. And anybody who knows me knows that I always have some stupid ass shit to ask, but very serious. So my question.
I don't think it was stupid. The entire
panel that was up there was Nina Harley, and quite a few other people were on
the
channel.
Nina Harley. Yes.
And I asked who on the panel had done a scene with Prince Joshua, and how good was he? And you saw all these women on the panel. Oh, yeah, and, I mean, you just heard the roar. You heard, like, a put like this, endorsements for this man was hella. And for anybody who doesn't know who Prince Joshua is, he is like the biggest dick in the adult industry as far as a male actor, black male actor. I mean, his dick got broken. It's still big.
Yeah,
I kid you not. I know y'all say.
Yes.
But his dick did get broke. He was out of commission for a few months, and he lost like a couple of inches, and he still, my understanding, got a humongous ass fucking dick.
Thing about that hair makes me cringe. Oh my God.
But
I would have freaked out.
Tori didn't know who he was, and she realized I asked a question, and she was like, my crazy ass is, you know, anybody who know me know that I just come out with shit out of my mouth and I always think, I was like, listen, I fucking text his ass, you really know who he is. And she, you know, and Tori knows who I am. She had met me in Vegas before I got sick with the flu, and she was supposed to be on the show, so she agreed to come on next week. And then we've got Tara Patrick coming on the 29th, thanks
yes.
to my handsome co-host,
yes.
James Acevedo. And then we've got CJ Strong coming on. For those of you who don't know who CJ Strong is, oh, Lord, all I could say is damn.
Okay.
And he was
do
all
you like him
mind.
Better
he was
than Prince, or is it even, if you had a choice?
You know what? I know both of them. So each one of them has their qualities. So I don't like one better than the other.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I'm not trying, for anybody who says I'm trying to be diplomatic, I'm not trying to be diplomatic. You guys
no,
have
not
to understand.
You.
I know like a lot of these guys, I really, you know, CJ caught me off guard on Friday because he came all up in the booth and I wasn't paying attention. I was working, you know, and
that's cool.
The men who know me know how to walk up on me. So, the way he walked up on me caught my ass off guard, and I was like, oh, shit. And then I realized what it was. I was like, more oh, shit. And he was, Friday he was walking around as a fan. So once I realized what it was, you know, it only took me a second to realize he was walking up on me. And I was talking to some women in the booth who were about my age. And I said, do you know who he is? And she looked at me. She's like, I kind of know. I'm not sure. And I think that she wasn't sure if that was my man or whatever. Because, I mean, anybody who knows me knows that I'm a flirt. And the guys who know me don't approach me the way that a man who doesn't know me approaches me.
I got you.
That's the best way to put it. And I don't mean in an intimate way. It's just that they already know I'm a natural flirt, so it's like they know that they could walk up on me a certain way, and I'm not going to get that offended or who you think you are on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll play into it because that's just my craziness.
True.
So she kind of looked, and I said, introduce yourself, and, you know, she kind of looked, and it was like, damn, you know, he was definitely eye candy, you know, and I got a chance to look at that eye candy all fucking weekend. I'm like, damn, you know, he better be glad that I got a fucking man, because Lord knows, them some motherfucking bones, I could have jumped this weekend. I wouldn't have had a motherfucking regret. I could have jumped them bones. I could have.
Yeah, hey, you know, you're jumping the gun here, because that was like one of my questions, but that's all right.
I mean, he just fucked up me. And as far as Prince, I mean, I would jump Prince also. I mean, but you got to realize, I know both these guys. So they already pretty much know if I was a single woman and they were available and there was if we had a mutual attraction. And I know for those guys who are saying, well, you mean, just because you want to jump somebody's mom's does not mean there's a mutual attraction. We had to have a mutual attraction. If there was a mutual attraction, oh, hell yeah. I ain't going to lie to you. Shit, I'm still a woman. Just because I got a man don't mean that my fucking shit shut down, okay?
No, that's true. You're not dead. Exactly.
It just means that I can't touch no more, but I can always look. But if I were available and the attraction was there with the both of us and everybody was available, I could see me doing it.
But I'm saying, would you choose Prince or would you choose Homeboy, the other dude? If they were both available, you were available, and you had to pick one, would it be?
Damn, I might have to be a fucking player.
Ah, okay. Okay.
You know, CJ is on the East Coast, and Prince is on the West Coast. I can actually kind of do that shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you're good. You could. Go, girl.
CJ is out of New York and Prince is out of L.A., so I could kind of, I know y'all said, bitch, you just being a straight up hoe, but I really wouldn't have to choose, though. I wouldn't. Think about it. In that case, I would not have to choose. They're on two different coasts.
It goes, you know, it goes both ways, you know, if it's good for a man, why can't a woman do it too? That's the way I look at it. You know what I mean? It's a double standard.
I wouldn't choose one over the other. I mean, you asked me a question, that was my answer. I mean, I think I would probably do both. You know, I had to have my East Coast and my West Coast. I just have to make sure they're not on the same coast together.
Yeah, now all you need is a Midwest and Central time and a mountain guy. And you'd be straight. You have all time zones in America covered, and then you have to start going overseas. Yeah.
Nah, I ain't got a problem going overseas. Something that should look good. My passport is valid, okay? Bitch can fly.
See, now you're making me. This could open up to more questions besides exotic. What you talking about overseas now?
For those of y'all who don't know, this is the recap of Exotica.
Yes, believe it or not.
We've got a few minutes before James starts in on me. This was just me talking about what was going on. But I posted some of the pictures today.
Yes. Let me ask you something. I don't mean to cut you off. But why were the pictures sideways when you posted it on Twitter?
It's because I didn't flip it.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, that's a nice picture, but it's... You know,
I didn't flip it, and you know, I was being lazy because I took. See, those were taken with my actual camera.
Okay.
Those were not taken with my phone. So.
All right.
You know, you got to flip stuff when you load them up from your camera and stuff.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah.
I ain't feel like flipping them. I mean, shit, I got a damn Nikon. Come on now, bitch, ain't got no cheap ass camera. I got a Nikon.
Yeah, it's
so,
one of top of line cameras. Of course.
You know, that's the just like the picture of me and Mimi and Nico. That was taken with my Nikon.
Yeah.
I was not lying.
You know, oh, my gosh. You look beautiful. Wow.
Okay, for those of y'all who don't know what he's talking about, earlier today, me and James had a conversation.
Yeah, a little private.
And,
but this is not private, this part, you know.
But we can put this public. But, I was telling him that I got a chance to meet Mimi and Nico, and I was saying how beautiful she is in person, how she looks better in person than she does on camera, and I mean, that's a very big compliment. I mean, she's a very beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I'm not being funny, I'm not being facetious, I'm being very honest. You know, she is very beautiful in person, and I was telling James that, you know, she is really beautiful. I was like, she looks better in person, she is really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he got a chance, and he had not seen the picture when we had our conversation, so when he saw the picture, it was like, oh, damn.
Bitch was right. And by the way, let me give a proper promo for you. So tomorrow, what Ms. V was talking about, she's going to be on Imani Rose's new show. It actually started last week. It comes on every Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, called Sexy N Biz. That's sexy with the letter N and Biz. And
it's going on 4 p.m.?
Yes, 4 p.m. That's what she's put. You put 4 p.m. Eastern Standard? No, I'm sorry. You know what? Yeah, I think you might be right.
I was going to say, because I'm calling in at 8:30.
I got to recheck it. I think it's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm sorry. I'm thinking
you
like
said 8:30, because I'm calling in at 8:30.
All right, wait. I'll check right now. Relax. Anyway, so, Miss V, I'm looking out for you here. So this Miss V is going to be on tomorrow night. On Dollhouse Radio, which I work for. By the way, I have two shows now on Dollhouse Radio, for those who don't know. It just started Monday that my homegirl and yours, Sammy Brooks, started her own show called Cooking with Miss Brooks. And guess who's the co-host?
I saw that.
This man. Yes.
Your ass is like a damn Jamaican. You know, you got to switch your damn nationality from Puerto Rican to Jamaican, because your ass got all kind of fucking jobs.
Jamaican-Rican. Yeah, man. So, so it was very fun.
You know, we're getting ready to be called some racist-ass motherfuckers right now for that.
Oh, well,
you know somebody's going to say that I'm being a racist. You know they're going to say I'm a racist for saying that.
Oh, please. Are you
serious? I'm not a racist. I'm just being Come on,
I don't
now.
Think
you know
you're
how people talk shit.
Saying that.
You know they're going to sit there and say, why would I say that about Jamaicans? But we all know, I mean, it's all kind of fucking skits out there. Jamaicans work so damn much. I will hire, put it like this, I'll hire a motherfucking Jamaican before I hire anybody. Well, Jamaicans and Mexicans. And I'm being honest. I'm not being stereotypical.
Yes.
Them motherfuckers work. I don't know what the hell is wrong with Americans. And I'm being honest. I don't care if you're a black American or white American. Americans are fucking lazy.
Mm-hmm.
You hire a Jamaican
or
a Mexican.
Or African.
Yeah, or African. Yeah, because they can braid some hair.
They do hours, trust me. I know. Trust me.
So if you hire any of these other nationalities, I put it like this. I'm getting ready to move to a new house, and when I need my roof did, I'm going to be asking who they employ. If they got Mexicans, I know my, is my roof going to be done. Shit, they're going to do 10 roofs in one damn day, and they all going to be done right. They don't half-ass work. They don't do half-ass work. And this is a very big compliment. I'm not being funny. Not only do they work fast and efficient, but them motherfuckers do it right. You know, I think as far as Hispanic Americans, we need to go on and get them documented because they work. I just hope if we get – my whole thing is, baby, if we get y'all documented, don't quit working like y'all do because I love the way you work. That's why I hire you.
Exactly.
Same with Jamaican. If we get you documented.
And
African.
Yeah.
Don't stop working the way you work because then I have to kick your ass and talk about you like a lazy-ass person. But come on, James. I love Puerto Ricans also. You know I do.
But I know you do.
You don't never hear about no damn Puerto Ricans getting up on the damn roof and having that shit done in 6 hours, do you?
Yeah, because we're not crazy. Fuck that. In a 95-degree heat with 100% humidity. Hell fucking no. Are you fucking mine? Hell no. That's because we have black enough. That's why. You're like, fuck this.
Wow.
I need to fix my roof. I know what to call 1-800-ARIBA-ARIBA. Let me get this.
You know me and you are getting ready to get in a world of fucking trouble.
Oh, stop it. Relax, everybody out there.
I'm okay with it. I mean,
we're not racist.
But we're talking fun of our, ourselves also. I mean, we're not just talking about other races. I mean, we're poking fun. I mean, I'm black. I should.
I poke fun of my own race too. Shit.
Motherfuckers
do
don't want to work. I mean,
yeah.
I do. Motherfuckers don't want to work.
That's true.
I gotta get this off my chest before Thursday.
Uh-oh.
Before Thursday, I gotta get this off my chest.
Ah, shit.
And we're gonna elaborate on Thursday, but I gotta get this off my chest.
Uh-oh. What happened?
On my birthday, we were in Chicago.
Chicago.
And that self-proclaimed person who's going back to Cleveland. You know, I have a problem with this. I don't have a problem with him, but Cleveland better watch it. You know when people loan you money when you down and out,
uh-huh,
and you don't pay them back, and they remind you until the day that you die?
Uh-huh.
Watch out, Cleveland. Dan Gilbert, read my lips. Listen to my words. LeBron is getting ready to fuck you with no goddamn lubricant, baby. He's going to fuck you well.
Go ahead.
You are a man who, I understand, you know, why you let him come back. But you know what? You came back like a whining bitch who wanted her man back. And LeBron is coming back like, yeah, you need me.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, LeBron is saying that he's going to make Cleveland. He's doing something for Cleveland. No, LeBron is doing this for himself so that he could rub in your face. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fucking ass stupid ass move. Everybody else talking about it was brilliant. It was the most stupid ass move I see out there. And I have to get this off my chest because you know what, Dan Gilbert, I thought you were a better businessman than that. You should have made that bitch beg to come back. If he really wanted to come back to Cleveland, you should have made him beg and take a motherfucking cut in pay. Serious cut.
Yeah.
Make that motherfucker work for free for a year if he really want to do something for Cleveland.
Now, this is my real
And then
quick.
That damn comment that his son's taking, he wear a fucking Cleveland jersey now. You know what? First of all, from goddamn Detroit, wear a goddamn Pistons jersey. I don't give a shit that you own the motherfucking Cavaliers. The headquarters of your company is in downtown Detroit. So I still don't have no fucking respect for you. Okay, now that I've gotten that off my chest.
Well, can I say something real quick about this since you had your piece on this?
Sure.
Okay, yes. I made fun of LeBron's speech the whole day this past Friday. If you hear my show on the Bench Warmers Live show, you can download it after this show, not right now, but later on. I read the whole Gettysburg Address that this guy, LeBron, who didn't write it, by the way, and I put my life on the line saying that, because there's no way in hell he
would. It was a press release, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was a press release.
He didn't write it, first of all. And I tell you what, he didn't mean one word he said. How about that? I think it's all bullshit. And this is what I think. And mark my words.
I agree with you.
Mark my words. He took 2 years because for two reasons. One, if they don't do shit, he gets the fuck out, which he will do regardless. I'm saying it right now. He will leave again. And if you don't think so, then you're stupid. I guarantee you.
He will fuck Cleveland again.
Trust me. If you don't believe it.
So me and you feel the same way.
Trust me.
In Chicago, they were saying, oh, no, that was brilliant. I was like, okay, y'all
brilliant.
Must not follow sports the way I do.
Brilliant.
They were like,
I laughed my ass off.
Wait a minute. So let me get this clear. Me and you are on the same page with this.
Yes, and my first reaction was I was happy as fuck because it meant the Heat were dead. You know, that Heat would never be back in the finals again. So I was happy as hell, even though the Eastern Conference is wide the hell open. I mean, even though they got Long Dang and they got old-ass Dwayne way back, and the only reason that Chris Bosh went back was because they were so desperate. They offered him an extra year and an extra $30 million, which added up to $118 million to the $86 million that the Houston, actually the $88 million that the Houston Rockets were going to give him. So that's the only reason why Bosh went back, and you can't blame the guy. Both tax-free states, hey, shit, I'll take the five-year $118 million. And I said on Friday, if he didn't take that Rocket offer before that Miami offer came to play, he would have been a fucking idiot. I'm sorry. Fuck what LeBron wants to do. But he lucked out. It worked out for Bosh because of LeBron leaving, they were desperate. And they were like, please, Bosh, come back. We'll give you extra year and $30 million more than you would make with Houston. Okay. So that was it. And this is another reason why LeBron did this, real quickly, before we move on to Exotica. Besides the 2 year, obviously, because in case shit don't work out, gets the fuck out. A new collective bargaining agreement will take place after 2 years, which means more money will come into play for all teams in the NBA. So, a smart business move by LeBron's case, when that comes into intuition, that's more money for him, which means Cleveland Cavaliers has to give him more money. So, either way, he's covered. You see what I'm saying?
He makes so much money. You don't have to convince me. My whole thing is that I've said it before. I'll continue to stand by it. And I really wish somebody who knew Dan Gilbert would give him my fucking number. Because, for one, I don't have no respect for him. And on this aspect, let's get this clear because y'all know I do love Dan Gilbert. Let's get this clear. He has done a lot for the city of Detroit. My problem I'm having with Dan Gilbert is that in this particular instance, in this small aspect of his business, he was a bitch begging for her man back. Her man came back at a price, and her man is getting ready to fuck her in the ass with no lubricant. And this is the problem I have.
No vaseline.
You should have let your man stay gone and let him go where the fuck he was going to go, because he's clearly made it clear that he's doing you a favor.
Not only that.
First of all, ain't nobody doing no favor for me, because, see, Cleveland is still Cleveland. Cleveland existed when he fucking left. Cleveland will continue to exist. When he's back, LeBron can't make Cleveland something that they're not. Just like the Pistons have had their ups and downs, there is no one. See, this is the problem I have with the entire NBA and some of these motherfucking players. See, when Detroit, and I'm going to use Detroit as an example, because for anybody who knows about the Bad Boys, one player did not make that team. That's why they were called the Bad Boys, because they were the baddest motherfuckers in the NBA for, what, three motherfucking seasons?
It was a good old season. That was when the NBA was real NBA. That was when it was a real NBA back then.
What I'm saying is, two championships back-to-back. Them motherfuckers were world champs. No one person took credit. You took a fucking team. Remember, a basketball team is five players. Even though you've got your other people on the bench, it took a team.
That's why the motherfuckers were called the Bad Boys. Can't nobody else be called the Bad Boys for them. Look at the Wolverines, the Fab Five. The reason why they were the Fab Five, because not one person, even though they stripped that shit from them, they were still the Fab Five of U of M, okay? To this very day, they're still the Fab Five. That is a team. LeBron James is not a fucking team. When Jordan was on the Bulls, it was not just about the Jordan. It was about Scottie Pippen, Jordan, and who – I can't remember the whole Bulls team because I'm not a Bulls fan.
I can elaborate on that, yes.
But what I'm saying is that even though Jordan was the name, Jordan was not the entire team. You had Scottie Pippen on that team.
No,
you had the Atlanta Hawks with the Atlanta Hawks that nobody talks about, but y'all forget about Webber. I mean, what's his name? Spud Webb, who was on the Hawks. That was the whole team. Remember,
Dominique Wilkins had teams. He was the guy. Dominique Wilkins, he didn't have a full team.
When the Admiral was playing, you had players who had names, but the teams that they were on were full teams. I'm sorry. No, I take that back. I'm not fucking sorry. Until these motherfucking players realize you don't make or break a motherfucking team. You got to have a team. You know what? Until you can say that you're the fucking Fab Five from U of M or the Bad Boys of Pistons, your motherfucking ass ain't shit. You done gave yourself a self-proclaimed title or somebody gave you the title as king? Really? The king is fucking Michael Jordan, if you want to call it, because that's a badass motherfucking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's motherfucking king.
Yeah, that's a real
You're a fucking player that's making a lot of goddamn money. That's what you make.
Yeah.
Dominique Wilkins, that Spud Webb, you know, motherfuckers who earn their money. People don't like Isaiah Thomas, but Zeke and that whole Detroit team. I don't like Rodman, but when it came down to being a team, he was a team. Even the most recent Pistons where you had the two same last names, Rasheed, the two Wallaces.
Rasheed Wallace,
it was
a
team.
Yep, that's how they were.
Rasheed Wallace and Ben Wallace. It's a team. Until LeBron James knows how to be a team player, you're fucking shit. And I say this, and I stand behind it, and we could go to our fucking show and do what we're supposed to. Until all these fucking teams realize that one goddamn player don't make them. LeBron James is fucking LeBron James.
Exactly. And you know what? I got something to say. I love you. I love you. I am so lucky to be on this show. But that's the bottom line. And guess what? Before we move on, this is my last thing about it. There will be a lockout. They will be a lockout because you can't tell me owners are fucking pissed off about this. Like, okay, when are we? How many times are we going to be held hostage? I mean, LeBron and fucking Carmelo Anthony. I'm going to wait for this guy's decision and then everybody else. It's annoying already. Stop it. Nobody from the past did this shit. Nobody. Michael Jordan never did this shit. And all these guys you talked about, never. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, never did this shit. Now, they might have gotten coaches fired. That's a different story. You know, Magic Johnson did that. But other than that, they never.
They didn't hold the team hostage.
They didn't hold the franchise hostage. LeBron had the NBA by the nuts. And then, it's disgusting already. When I found out recording the podcast last Wednesday, Heaven Hollywood telling me he found on Black Sports Online, he's going to announce it on his website. Like, are you fucking kidding me? You're going to announce it on a website? Like, seriously, just be a normal person.
Why he's in fucking Brazil? He was in Brazil.
Yeah, I had to woke up, yeah.
In Brazil.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. So this was known ahead of time. I mean, let's move on because, see, I'm so disgusted.
By the way, I did check with the time, you know, with Amani Rose, and
yes,
it does say you're like yes, and it does say here it's every Wednesday 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard. So it says the show starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What she put. So, unless she's doing a 2-hour show, you said 8:30.
I got my email from the higher up said 8:30, so somebody give me some information.
I better double check that. No way, I'll look into it a little bit to look out for you. I'm with Dollhouse, so I'll look at it, make sure too. But anyway,
we're gonna go on with this. You know, I got a headache. This fucking basketball shit. It's not your fault. I had to get off my chest because I'm so.
I don't blame
you. People in Chicago were happy about this shit.
And maybe because I'm a real, you know, for those of y'all who know, I do know my sport. I don't talk off the side of my neck. I talk what I know. You know, if I don't know about a sport, I won't talk about it. I might make comments about it if they sexy men or something. But, I mean, I mean, but seriously, I mean, people think that I don't know sports, James, and you know that. Because Chicago guys was trying to talk over me. No, 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 you don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, really? I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. The most fucked up move that just happened in NBA history, I don't know what I'm talking about. You go right on about that shit, because bitch got her own opinion.
I'm sorry,
you
but
know,
real...
and...
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, so what gets me is that there is an assumption, because I do talk about sex all the time, and that this is my life, you know. I sell adult products, I'm a sex educator and all this, that I have no clue about sports, and I don't know if they didn't want to agree with me because I was talking real shit or they really thought that I was stupid, but either way, I know my fucking sports, I know my history, I probably know more than most people because I do shit like research owners and stuff, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that nobody knew that Dan Gilbert actually lived in Detroit, you know, the headquarters of his company is in downtown Detroit and he's pumped billions of dollars into the city of Detroit. So while y'all talking shit, he's a fucking damn native Detroiter. He just owns the goddamn Cavaliers. And that was their thing. That's what was told to me. I want to get this on my chest. They was like, that's because he couldn't buy the Pistons. I said, Bill Ford was not unassed in the Pistons. I said, if the man wouldn't have died, he would still own them. Let's keep that real. I was like, let's get this shield clip, you know. Not
keep
Bill
it,
Ford,
yeah.
But you know who I'm
yeah.
talking about. The
yeah.
owner of the Pistons. If he wouldn't have died, I was like, it's a family business. Let's keep that shit real. It's just like the Lions are owned by the Fords.
Yeah, long time.
The Tigers are owned by the Illiches. Let's get this clear. Them teams are not for fucking sale. Mike Illich bought the Tigers when they went to their worst fucking part after the head of Domino's got rid of them. Once they won the World Series, they were under for those y'all know, for whatever reason, the Tigers love pizza. I got to make that joke out there.
I thought it was the guy that runs Caesars. Is the guy that runs Domino's that owns the Tigers? Listen.
Tom Monahan, who used to be the owner of Domino's, is who
okay.
owned the Detroit Tigers when they won the 1984 World Series.
Oh, that I get
they've
it.
Gone
sorry.
From,
I'm sorry.
They've gone from Domino's to Little Caesars.
Ah,
so the Tigers love pizza. That's all I'm saying, you know.
Yeah, pizza, pizza.
And remember, both of those owners are Detroit-based. You know, that's all I'm saying is that, you know,
pizza, pizza.
You ain't got to, you know, the Fords are still here in Michigan. They ain't Grosse Pointe, you know, but my whole thing is that Comerica Park, they better be glad that shit ain't called Little Caesars Park because Ford Field is named after the Fords.
That would have sucked, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be cool? If it would have been cool, if he's at the Dark Park. Ah, that would have been nice.
Nah. They could have called it Illich Field, though. Now, if they would have called it Illich Field would have been good. But my whole thing is that everybody don't, you know, for those of y'all who don't think I know my sports, oh, I know my shit. I even know NASCAR now. Because I love Danica Patrick. Let's get that shit clear. I watch her whenever she's
ready. I've seen pictures of her. Wow, she's not bad when she takes off that shit.
And she's divorced now, you know.
I had no idea. Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Again, I know my sports.
I guess she was much better driving than she was in the bedroom.
Hello. I don't think it was about that. I think that with the amount of money that she's making, I mean, come on, this is about
a jealous
woman.
Got jealous?
She's I don't think it's a matter of jealousy. I think that it's a matter of, you know, she's the GoDaddy girl. You know, she is
yes.
the spokeswoman for GoDaddy.com.
Mm-hmm.
And with all that comes, you know, all men can't handle being in the background. I mean, it's
I
all
could.
About Danica.
I could.
So, again, for y'all say, I know my sports, you know. I just had to put it out there. I know my sports. I don't bullshit about it. Everybody
nope.
know I love boxing. You know, that is my favorite sport. I love boxing.
That's your number one sport, I think.
That is my number one sport. You know, I know most people say they don't understand. I love boxing. You know, that is my number one sport.
I
stand behind it.
I would love to hang out with you in a boxing match. I can see you, like, getting into it, like, hit him, motherfucker, hit him.
You're like, no, I'm like, what the fuck you mean? You ain't see that? Yeah, you know what, I would be, you know, and that's me, I really love my sport. You're right, I'd be like,
what the fuck
damn.
Was that?
Like, oh, my God. Yeah, and I would. I'd
make
be like,
move. What
damn.
The fuck?
I'd be, use your left, jab, 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 you know.
You'd be worse than a trainer and shit in the fucking corner.
I would. I ain't gonna lie, I would. I love
boxing. What the fuck was that?
You
the fuck was that in that round?
If I could afford ring, you know what, if I could afford ringside seats, like them $3,000 or $4,000 seats,
oh.
I would be there because I love boxing that much. I love boxing that much.
Wow.
And my father loves boxing. So, really,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
If I could, you know, if I could afford, like, to get those true ringside seats, like, at a Vegas match, oh, hell yeah. Anybody listening, sponsorship, get me and my dad tickets to the next big fight in Vegas. Fly us out there. We'll go. Y'all
trust
could,
me.
You know,
trust
put me all
we'll
over
represent
the camera.
It. Trust me.
Yes.
But,
you know,
I love this.
But remember, I have to be able to take my daddy. I have to take my daddy. I know y'all keep saying why I say that. My daddy is, like, a true sports.
That's
he loves boxing.
Yeah.
The deal is you have to pay for my daddy to go.
Yep.
We have to. We're a package. You know, you can't say
all paid.
You got to pay for us to come.
Yep, all paid. Exactly.
All expenses.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so now we're back to
yeah, now 36 minutes into the show,
and we got Greg on. Well, you know what? Our normal first 30 minutes is us bullshitting, so we got our bullshit off. And I'm going to actually bring Greg on, so he's sitting here, so... I'm turning it over to you guys. I'm sitting back in.
This could be like a little press conference. This actually could be like a little press conference.
Hey,
hello,
hey,
Miss
Greg.
B.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello, James.
Hey, Oklahoma Thunder's in the house. What's up? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm a little worn out, long day.
Oh, man.
Long week, even though it's only freaking Tuesday.
That sucks.
Hey, Greg.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't get White Castles in Chicago, just like I won't get White Castles here. So you ain't got to worry about that. I looked at that. I was like,
but you couldn't find any White Castles out there? There's White Castles in Chicago.
I live with White Castle. Why would I go get something that I could already get? It would be different if I didn't have White Castles.
Oh, okay. You see it that way.
Yeah. I mean, but, I said that for your birthday, and I didn't realize, and I was like, oh, shit. They're already up there in Michigan.
See?
Yeah, so.
You know what's funny?
I got a White Castle less than 5 minutes from my house.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny?
There you go.
You know what's funny? Like I said, Miss Brooks has that cooking show, and I have my own segment. And my segment, I talk about, like, history of food establishments and food in general. And this past week, I talked about Nathan's Hot Dogs and their franchise. And I did a little thing on that. And actually, this coming week, on Monday, I'll talk about White Castle. So it's funny how you brought that up. So this is going to be good. I'm going to talk about everything about White Castle, the whole history, everything.
Cool.
Yes, it's going to be good.
They have weddings. You know, they have weddings at White Castle every year.
They have weddings?
On Valentine's Day, they do free weddings.
Wait. All right. Inform me on this. Like, how does this...
You don't know the history enough, James.
Wow.
Yeah, you better really do your history.
I want to grab by the sackful and marry this woman here, please. You know.
No. White Castle actually will pay for your wedding. It's on Valentine's Day. Every single White Castle location throughout the country that's a part of White Castle.
Really?
Because, you know, White Castle's not franchised. Remember that. You can actually. There's only one day out of the year that you make. There's only one day out of the year that you make reservations at White Castle, and that's on Valentine's Day. You have to make reservations for a table.
Oh, my God.
And White Castle... No, I mean, but you got to realize that when White Castle first came out, that was the only thing some place could afford to go for a date, and it was a classy date because they had tables. And they still have tables, unlike a lot of these other fast food establishments where you're really just running in and running out. A lot of people still go and sit at White Castle. No, they have the tables, and every location they put on their website, and they say if you want to have your wedding on Valentine's Day, they cater it. They cater the wedding. And it's actually really classy. It's not no bullshit. It's really classy, and they do the whole wedding party and everything. I want to say it's like for 50 people every year they do. And
wow.
I'm talking about 50 people in your wedding party. So it's not
yes.
no bullshit. It's very serious.
Wow.
You better go check that out, yes.
Thanks for the info. I'm going to use this on Monday.
Oh, yeah, man. James, they do not franchise.
Wow.
And I looked up the closest White Castle I have is in Missouri.
Yeah. That I
from
do
me.
Know. I know they only go, like, as far
so
as the
far.
Midwest, and that's it. It's not
yeah.
on the West Coast. It's not in mountain time zones. Yeah, I know about that. That I knew.
But they do not franchise,
and that's why that is the reason why they have been around for so long, because they refuse to franchise. They will not
mm-hmm.
franchise because
mm.
what they did do, and Greg, you may not realize this, they do buy into franchises though, because you know that Church's Chicken is franchised, but some White Castles have Church's Chicken in them.
Yeah, some of them do.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
wow,
that I knew.
I didn't
yeah.
know that.
I knew that.
Wow.
Yep, that's true.
And we have churches down here, but no White Castle other than grocery stores in the frozen section, which, okay, it'll give you a taste, but it's not the same.
Exactly. You have to go to the exact place. That goes for Nathan's, White Castles, anywhere. You have to go to the exact place.
But you know that Church's Chicken and White Castle, I mean, Church's Chicken and Popeyes are owned by the same company now.
Wow.
Yes.
If you taste, seriously, the reason why you could tell Church's Chicken, that fatty-ass taste that they have, the big steroid-injected chicken that they serve.
Yeah.
If you taste the original Popeye's chicken, it's the exact same chicken as Church's.
Wow.
They are owned by
the
same company now.
Hmm.
Sweet.
That's interesting. See, this show goes all over the place.
It.
I love it.
You can taste it. And that's, you know, you can taste it. Church's Chicken is like the White Castle of the chicken industry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask one more question about White Castle, and then we move on?
Yeah.
Okay.
As we all know about White Castle, the original White Castles are the ones that look like actual castles, if you know what I'm talking about. Like, you know, the outside
yeah.
had. But there's only one I know in New York that's like that. Are there any ones like that in, you know, around your way that looks like an actual castle? Now they look like regular stores, you know?
No, they don't. They still keep the. They rebuild them to look like castles.
I like that. That's the one.
You
I
don't
like
have.
That to. I like. You know, I like.
Yeah, I look. Okay, but let's move on.
From sports to food, and now Exotica. It all goes together somehow. See, that
somehow.
Goes to anything. This is fun. So I can I have the floor first, or will you, how you want to do this?
It's up to you. This is on you.
All right, then I'll have the floor first. All right. So I want to get behind everything here. So how my first question to you, Ms. V, is I know it was a pain in the ass, like getting ready and getting yourself situated to go out there. Was the trip like, how was it like getting your car like at 3 or 4 in the morning and getting out there? Was it a nice, smooth trip? Was any issues, anything weird happen while you were going over there to Chicago?
Actually, no. I mean, the trip to Chicago, because I packed the car the night before,
mm-hmm.
the only thing I had to finish packing was like the containers, because we had to repack the containers. We got a late start, but that's because nobody wanted to wake up. But we still, I mean, other than that, and then I forgot, okay, anybody who knows me, I love to eat. I ain't going to lie, I love to eat. And
me too.
I bought a TGI Fridays gift card before I left, because.
You bought what?
I bought a Fridays gift card before I left for $50.
Ooh.
I left my gift card here at home.
Oh.
So the only thing was we had to stop and buy another. I didn't have to stop and buy a gift card, but I stopped to buy another gift card because I don't know if you have Kroger's in New York, but here we have Kroger's. I know in other parts of the country they're called something else. But we get fuel points. It's a grocery store.
Oh, okay.
But,
mm-hmm.
So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday we get double fuel points. So
mm-hmm.
I always buy my gift cards and stuff on Friday. And fuel points are, you get those points and you get that money off your gas at the end of the month.
So with it being double fuel points, I had to make it a point to stop to get out, buy another Friday's gift card so I could get the fuel points for it on Friday. That was probably the biggest hiccup, was me forgetting the fuel, the gift card.
Yeah,
at home.
I remember you talking about that. You had that and you forgot, huh? But you get to still go though, right? After you eventually, right?
I just stopped and bought another card. I mean, that wasn't no biggie. It was on our way, so it wasn't like we went out of our way to get it or anything.
Cool.
We got there, we set up. I mean, it was probably because we've been doing so many exoticas. Our drive was really good.
That's good.
I mean, we didn't have no hiccups in our drive. I mean,
excellent.
And even the Dan Ryan, for those of y'all who know about Chicago, the Dan Ryan, which is probably the worst nightmare in the world, was riding good. I hate the Dan Ryan, but the Dan Ryan was not fast, but it was smoother than it normally is. There was still delays on it, but it was smoother than it normally is.
Okay. So is that a major highway that runs through Chicago, or what is that?
That is the main vein in Chicago.
Okay.
The Dan Ryan has express lanes and local lanes, and that's where you could get the L runs through. The train runs down on the Dan Ryan, so you can see the L running through the city.
Oh.
That is, when I say that's the main vein, but because it's just a headache. I mean, at 3 in the morning, the Dan Ryan will be backed up. There is no good time to ride that freeway.
Oh, wow.
It's always backed up, yes.
Wow.
You know, there is no good time to ride it. You know, you can't say, oh, well, I'll get here at this time and get through. No, there is no good time to ride the Dan Ryan.
That's worse than New York.
Hey, trust me, Miss Lee, I used to deliver in Chicago.
Yeah.
And you take all the highways, I mean, from Skokie, Oak Brook, I mean,
Skokie. From Skokie. Cool.
And there's no way to get around it. I mean, that's the... And the whole thing is that in other cities you can find alternative routes, but when you're talking about going from Chicago proper out to any of the suburbs, there's no way to get around because the streets are also congested, so you do better taking the Dan Ryan because there's no other freeways to get around. Like here in Michigan, and I'll use us as an example, in Michigan, let's say I want to go downtown Detroit. I live on the west side of the city. Okay, if I want to go downtown Detroit, I have the option of taking I-96, which is Jeffries Freeway. But if that's backed up, I could take a main street, which is Grand River down, depending on where I live at. Or I could take the Southfield Freeway, which is a north-south freeway, up to the Lodge, which is M-10, which goes downtown. Well, I could take it down to 94 and take it downtown. We have alternative ways to get through the city of Detroit. There's not just one way. We have so many. We have like 4 freeways to run into downtown Detroit.
Okay.
So even though our freeways are crowded, we don't have the backup because we don't have one main vein. We have freeways and main streets that feed into it. The city of Detroit is set up as a true metropolis as far as veins running in. We have our veins, if you look at how a city is supposed to set up, the city of Detroit, as much as people talk shit about it, the city of Detroit is set up as the way a true metropolis is supposed to be set up. You have your main veins that feed into your downtown district, which is we have Grand River, Woodward, and Gratiot, which is your main streets that run into downtown Detroit. You have your freeways, 94, 96, and I-75 that run into downtown Detroit. All these will take you into downtown Detroit. Plus, we have M-10, which is a freeway, which is the Michigan road that runs into downtown Detroit. So when you talk about all these veins from different parts of the city and state that run into the heart of Detroit, it's a big difference versus a city like Chicago or a city like Cleveland. And I'll use Cleveland because 71 runs through downtown Cleveland. There's no way to get around Cleveland other than 71. I know that because I'm from there.
Okay.
And 71 is a fucking headache also. So the Dan Ryan is a headache. 71 is a headache. I guess it would be like going through the Lincoln Bridge, trying to get from Jersey over to New York.
Detroit doesn't have that problem. I don't know about other cities, but I can tell you that even when I live, you know what, I'll give San Francisco an example. I lived out in Vallejo in California, and you could take the 101 into San Francisco or the 580 into Oakland. You don't have just one main vein that shoots into the city, because you could take the 101 going into San Francisco, going to take San Francisco over to the 580 to get into Oakland, or you could take the 580 off of the 101 to get in, because the 101 actually takes you from Northern California down to Southern California, so it's a main vein throughout the entire state. I'm sorry, I just gave a little bit of history. What was your question? I'm sorry, Greg. Did I give enough interstate information?
you definitely gave more than I bargained for that question. Shit.
I mean, all of the areas I've driven across, I mean, Detroit, actually, with the loops and the main highways and interstates, it's actually very good.
Mm-hmm.
New York, I mean, going across the Brooklyn Bridge and the GW.
Yeah.
Are somewhat nightmares.
They are nightmares.
And California, oh, well, that's a nightmare in its own self.
But it depends on where
especially
you're at.
LA.
I live outside San Francisco. I was going to say, LA is worse because of the congestion down there. But when you're in Northern California, you've got the 101, and the 101 runs great.
Yes.
You
now,
know, I love
up in San Francisco and Oakland, they run actually better than L.A.
Because you got 581 on 37. I've been to many parts of the damn country to know all this shit. Okay, what's the next question, James?
Yeah, so you say, so you are you trying to say that Google Maps don't have shit on you?
You know what? I have friends, believe it or not, who ask me directions, and they say that I don't know shit about the city of Detroit, but I can tell you how to get everywhere in the suburbs. So probably, no, Google Maps don't have shit on me, because I can get to where I got to go.
So there you go. Another straight-up answer. I love it. Oh, by the way, before we continue, if anybody wants to ask questions for Ms. V about what happened in Exotica or anything that happened in Exotica, you could call us, by the way. It's 646-716-8041. That's 646-716-8041. And you could be like Greg here and ask questions to Ms. V about what's going on with Exotica and stuff, whatever happened.
Nice, you guys get to ask me whatever.
Oh, that too, yeah. Like device, whatever. Food, sports, directions,
new sex toys.
Go ahead. Hey,
yes.
Greg. Go ahead, Greg.
New sex toys.
Ah.
The Miss V.
There's
wand.
My teapot.
Ooh.
Yes, the Miss V. wand. Debuted in Chicago.
Yes.
For everybody who did not know, and no one knew what the new toy was.
Yeah, you had enough. And I don't know, but wow.
And for those y'all who say somebody had to have known, put it like this, everybody knows my bestie is Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
That is my bestie. I'm sure I'll be getting a phone call cussing me out later. Because I didn't even give it. No, because I give Naomi everything. I give her everything. You know, I am her toy supplier, you know. And she didn't get it. You know, I didn't even release it to her because I didn't want nobody knowing what it was.
That's on the
reason.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't want it out there. I did not want any slips or pictures out there. I still haven't posted it yet.
Yeah,
it's
going to
actually be up there by the end of the week.
Yeah.
It's only $65. We sold out in Chicago. It was
congrats.
Very pleasant. I was pleasantly surprised. And it sold very well. You know,
there was
no forcing it on people. I had two couples walk up over together, and I told them I had three left, and they were like, we better get them now. And they, people were, put like this, people's plastic was working. I love when plastic works.
Let me swipe this. Swipe. Swiping away.
Yes. You know, plastic was working, and we had the cash register going. So we, you know, the new toy, not you know, I knew it was a good toy, but just because you know it's a good toy, is nothing like having people say yes. And even, I got to get Alexis last night, but she was there. She is a porn star, well, adult industry star, and I did a couple of demos on her. I did two demos on her 2 days in a row. So
yes,
for anybody who see the picture out there, okay, did anybody see the picture, though? Somebody send me that picture, because that'll tell you who I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's the picture out there.
Oh.
It's a picture of me doing her.
Nice.
So if anybody sees the Exotica tweet, that's the picture of me on it. I know I'm tagged on that picture. So she actually, on Sunday, I did her again. And, yes, I did do her.
Mm-hmm.
Which
on
one?
On Sunday. And her name is Alexis or Alexa.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I can look it up because I retweeted it. Let me see. Go ahead, talk.
There's a picture of me doing her.
Mm.
And on Sunday,
yeah.
When I met Scherzer. Oh God, I'm sorry. The All Star Game is on also.
I know you watched that. You saw Cabrera hit that two run homer. Right? I know you did.
Yes.
Still watching it.
I did her, and one of her fans bought her a toy because she's like, I gotta have this toy. And I held it up, and I said, you guys heard that she got to have it. Somebody buy this for her. And we did, like, I won't say an auction, but I did not get the guy's name, so I apologize. So if he's listening to my show, I'm so sorry I didn't get your name. But he was there with the mic, and he was, like, the hype man. And he said, if y'all buy her this toy, you get to use it on her.
Ooh,
for
wow.
5 seconds.
Smart.
And then he said, and the guys... They was like, nobody, they kind of held back. He's like, and we'll throw in 2 signed 8x10. So a guy pulled out the money and bought her the toy. And
wow.
He got a chance to use it on her. And he paid cash money for it. So I was like, see, you got the toy. So when I say we were really, really working, I did the pulsate, for those of y'all who want some information on this, Miss V. Wan, the Miss V wand does not have speeds. It has functions. And each function has a different type of pulsation or speed that goes with it. So instead of going from 1 to 10 as far as speed, you go to your function. So you'll start out with it being like a regular massager, and then it'll go a little bit faster, and then it'll go to like that pulsating, and then it'll go to the different types of pulsating. So I can't even describe it. I tell you guys, you got to buy it. And on top of this, for anybody who says that I sell a Hitachi, Hitachis are not flexible. First of all, Hitachis are massagers. That is what they're done. That's what they are.
Totally different.
Mm-hmm. They don't have a flexible head.
Which is important.
Their heads are hard. They will burn you. I've gotten burned from them. That's how I know they burn you.
Hard.
So, hard.
Burned.
And it's not a good hard.
Hard.
And it's not a good hard. It hurts. I mean, it's very uncomfortable where these are made for that. So, I mean.
Okay. Her name was, Glamazon Taomi?
No.
Wasn't her?
No.
No?
Oh. I used it on her, too, but, no, this would have been tweeted on Saturday.
Oh, never mind. Okay.
Because Exotica actually retweeted it.
Okay, I'll go look at that. I'm sorry.
Oh, there's a picture of me. There's a picture of me doing her. I know it's out there because they retweeted it.
I gotta see that one. Nice. That's cool. So,
and the reason why I know it's a picture because the young lady who was working with us on Saturday, her name is Moore, and she's really nice, and she worked with us on Saturday, and she's done Exoticas before, so for anybody who wants to know who she is, she actually used to work for another company.
Nice.
And her and my daughter are friends, and they became friends at Exotica New Jersey, and I asked her if she wanted to work, and she came and worked with us on Saturday. So
yeah,
nice. I did not get some... You know, as they say, people who don't know what they're doing, she was not a random, you know, she was someone who not only knows how to do it, I've actually told her that we come back to Chicago next year, she has a job.
Oh, That's cool. That's what's up.
For anybody who knows me knows that's a lot, because I don't like everybody.
And you know, and that's a perfect segue. That is a perfect segue to my next question, Ms. V. That was a perfect segue. But see, this is why we're good together, I'm telling you. Now, one thing I love about you and why I'm proud to be on this show is that you speak your mind. So I know you're like you said, you're not diplomatic. You say what's on your mind, and that's what I love about you. So tell me, who's cool over there with you at Exotica, and was there anybody that acted like douchebags over there that you could name if you could?
There was only one person who acted like a douche, and I will not say her name.
The reason I won't say
her name is because, not really, but she probably, okay. I mean, but she's in another industry. But because I've asked her to be on the show, I don't want to say her name because eventually she'll probably be on. The whole thing is that I wasn't. She hasn't gotten her public relations skills down quite yet, and I think that she thought she said something to me that she didn't say, and kind of said something to me, and I kind of looked at, like, sweetie, you really ain't all that in my mind, but I won't say her name, but
nah.
I don't have anybody really douchebags for me. I don't have anybody who's really a douchebag to me.
That's good.
And
that's
think because, for one, I just don't, I've been around the adult industry for almost 10 years now, so I think that if I was a newcomer, it would be different because when I first started selling toys and I started going to these things, people didn't know how to react to me. And then I did have a different appearance. When I first started selling toys in the adult industry, my appearance was much different than it is now. And I have to give credit where credit is due. I give credit to Naomi, my bestie, because we met at one of the conventions and, you know, she saw me in the daytime and she invited me to a party. And I went to her party, and I was dressed a totally different way. And she kind of, like, did a double take because she didn't realize it was me. And we actually became friends after that, and she started talking to me. And I'm in a sex industry, you know, sex sales, and I just wasn't looking like I was selling sex. As a matter of fact, I looked like I was trying to close up somebody's pussy and dry it up, apparently. But, you know.
Wow, was that bad, huh? You prude.
Yeah. Yeah. The comments, and it wasn't just a few people said, oh my God, you look like you're somebody's mom. And I'm like, well, shit, I am. I'm a couple of people's mom. But it wasn't somebody's mom in a good way. It was,
it's not good.
You know, more or less like, this ain't cool, you know, because I just wasn't, you know, I felt that I know my products. I shouldn't have to look a certain way. And at the end of the day, I do have to look a certain way. It doesn't matter if I'm that way or not. Sex is what sells, and there's an image that goes with sex. And either you're going to have that image and be successful, or you're going to hope and pray that people will understand that you know what you know and buy from you. And I chose to go the other route. I am very knowledgeable of my products. You know, I'm not ignorant of them. But I chose to go with sex sales and to step up that notch. And, I mean, I am a good-looking woman. I mean, for one, I don't have anybody who knows me, I do not have a problem with my sexuality. So stepping up, being sexy, you know, as they say, I just pulled what was behind closed doors out a little bit.
So that was good that you learned from that, because you went from, you know, saying, thank you for banking with Chase to looking the way you look now.
Listen, I bank with Chase. I love Chase. Chase don't give me no problems, okay?
You're like the manager of a bank. Like, oh, thank you for banking. This is the way you were dressed. That's the way you were dressed. But thank you for banking. Oh, well, wait a minute. You're in Exotica. What the hell are you?
Okay,
what's the banker doing
here? Sweet. Okay. Oh, this was a different chick, but... I got the picture. I'm getting ready to retweet this.
Yeah, I'm trying to find this shit. I've been looking. I'm like, what the fuck is this picture?
Arrangement finders are the ones who tweeted it.
Ah, no wonder. I'm looking through Exotica's.
And
Abby
Lee Brazil, but that's not the only one I did. But Arrangement Finders retweeted. I just retweeted it.
Ooh.
And that's not even the one who bought the.
Sorry.
That was the second chick I did.
Okay. I'm looking at something else.
I just retweeted it.
Okay, cool. I'm going to check it out. I'm just checking out this woman that dressed up in some Jamaican gear. Like, holy shit. You know, representing the World Cup? Holy shit. Wow. That's nice. World Cup
I was
going
to say, me, I'm kind of like, hell, Derek Jeter had a damn good game.
Yes. Ha! My man, Derek Jeter. Farewell to the captain. Yes. Yes. Very,
yep.
Very cool. Very cool the way they did things. He got a double. There was actually some asshole that I heard on the speaker saying overrated, and then he hit a double. Shut him the fuck up.
No.
There was
actually
a guy
had
in the crowd that screamed overrated. I was like, this fucking... Boom, double. Now, let's be honest. Okay, it's an all-star game. I got to see the pitch again. He probably threw it over the plate, you know, to be nice, you know, just to give him respect. But who cares? You still have to hit the ball. Just because it's over the plate doesn't mean you can't, you know, you can still fuck it up.
It don't matter how you throw it. If your ass don't hit it, it don't matter.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's awesome. Yeah, that's there. Before you know it, Go ahead.
The person who said overrated, I want to see them go hit the ball because, shit, I can't hit it.
Thank you. Exactly. It was just that one person.
I'm not even
trying
to be funny. I can't hit it.
Yeah. You know, I like to go to batting cages. I mean, I haven't done it in a while. But the best I can do, and mind you, this is 2005. So this is 9 years ago. So this is when I was like, 29, 30 years old. The best I did was like, I think it was 60 miles an hour. At best. Shit, you go to higher than that, I look like I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I mean, it's a split second. I mean, a lot of people don't give baseball its props. It's the hardest thing to do. One of the hardest things to do. A cylinder object, which is a bat, and try to hit a circle, a ball. You know, it's not that easy. At a high speed, not only high speed or slow speed, but it could change. You know, it could be a fucking changeup, a curveball. You know, you have to think that split second. You know, that's not an easy thing to do, so. It's like you have to have Jedi powers to do that shit, you know, like in Star Wars and shit. You know, if you think about it.
I mean, you've got roughly five different speeds and movements of a baseball, and it's 60 feet, 6 inches away, coming at 90 to 100 miles an hour.
And sometimes it's even closer than that, because, you know, it depends on how a pitcher pitches their stride. When they come up on mound, it's actually closer than that. So,
yes.
So that's a lot of things. But back to Miss V and Exotica.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Exotica.
Now, Miss V tweeted.
Yes.
Miss V tweeted her daughter's name and all that, looked that up, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, I told Miss V, I said, listen, with all due respect, you have a hot daughter.
I mean, with respect. Wow.
I said, I hope Miss V don't get mad at me. I said, look, I'm sorry.
Okay, the chick who I did was Onyx. Onyx,
oh,
baby. That's
rap group?
No.
I know, I'm messing with you.
No, but that's who actually got the...
Ooh, let me look at this. Okay, I'm going to look right now. Hold up one second.
I'm actually retweeting it because they didn't even do that on Saturday.
Mm. So was that a lot of fun? Did you get like some sexual stimulation off doing that or what? Honestly.
Well, what they didn't put up was that she I don't know if they caught the picture where she actually hit my damn clit because she had on a ring and hit my clit with it. So
ow.
No, it wasn't. It was the vibrating ring.
Oh.
So
oh,
she.
Okay. Wow. Will you marry me with this vibrating ring?
So she actually started messing with me while I was doing her, so it was a brand new level.
Nice. Hey, I love America when it comes to this thing.
And the level.
Oh, so tell me, how was your birthday at Exotica? Did you get to hang out with anybody cool on your birthday at Exotica?
Well, I was working.
Well, obviously, yeah.
But, I mean, I guess, what would you consider hanging out with somebody cool? I mean, I chilled with Leighton Bidden. You know, we chilled afterwards.
I beat your wife, yes. Very beautiful.
So, and, I mean, anybody who saw that, I mean, I got pictures of me grabbing her titties and stuff.
I saw that,
but,
yeah. That's why you
got
to fix that picture, rotate it back, straight up, yeah. Beautiful picture.
So
beautiful. Both of you beautiful. Both of you. Yes. Very nice.
And wasn't she singing?
What?
Was she not singing too during certain hours?
No,
or
she was
that
not.
Someone else?
That's someone else. It wasn't her.
Yeah. By the way, by the way, this picture you retweeted. Oh my God, I'm saving this picture.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, the Onyx baby. Oh, I might follow her now. Holy shit! Nice. I will retweet this right now. Thank you very much. Yes, right on live. Right on at 10:03 Eastern Standard. Actually, 10:11. I'm sorry.
Will you tag me in it? Because I didn't know how to tag myself in it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I thought you. I'm sorry. My bad. You're right. Hold on. I'll do that right now. Okay. Hold on. Sorry about that. Matter of fact, I'm gonna put V's after dark too. That's how I'm gonna do both. I'm gonna both do you solid right now. So
there you go.
So with Leighton Benson, you had a real good time for what you, you know, you basically hung out and stuff like most of the night, right?
Well, we were, you know, there was the regular after party, and we didn't,
nice.
Just for everybody to understand.
How's that?
We did not do the after party.
Oh,
we
did
chill time.
Gotcha,
we didn't do an after party. We were chilling, and I won't say where we were chilling at, but there was a few of the actresses and the staff of Exotica, you know, and just us people. I mean, there weren't any fans there. I take it back, there was one fan there, but it was really our chill time. So we were in our regular clothes. There was no hair and makeup and no glam. It was us chilling afterwards.
That's cool.
Everybody ordered pizza and had it delivered to our room, and they ordered pizza and stuff. I mean, when I say it was really, really chill time, it wasn't about, oh, you do this, you do that. I can't remember the bullshit we were talking, okay, but it had nothing to do with the damn industry. We were just talking. I mean, I kid you not, it was chill time, and I mean, so hanging out with people, I guess that would be our hanging out, because we just, you know, but that's what I do. I really don't do the after parties. I normally just chill with the people. Because we, on Saturday, we got invited to chill, and I found out because for me to go to the parties are for the fans. And for everybody, don't get this wrong, I am a fan. You know, I'm not saying I'm not a fan. I'm a very big fan. But because I'm also part of the adult industry, when I go to these parties, especially when I just want to chill with people, it's easier for me to go to a private get-together that's not for the fans, and to just chill where we're not talking business versus to go to some industry party where we have to dress up and put our heels and stuff on because we're already tired and we have to be back there the next day. So
yeah.
I appreciated that. You know, yeah, we didn't get in until about 3. I think we got back to our room at 3 in the morning, somewhere thereabouts. I don't know what time our pizza got there because I was asleep. But
well,
just to
be able
to chill. You know?
What type of pizza? Was it deep dish or
Chicago
regular pizza?
Deep dish. It was Chicago deep dish.
Okay. I don't mind that.
Because we don't have Chicago deep dish here, so I had to, you know, I did go with the traditional Chicago deep dish.
Great.
Well, see,
and,
I can understand your after parties and all that with the adult business, but my business at the time was food shows with Budweiser.
Nice.
It was not as open, but
you wish you was.
We did have lots of fun too.
Yeah, ain't that weird? Because
you know, like
would...
Well, I'll tell you the weirdest thing that happened.
Go ahead.
When me and my daughter, and you saw the pictures of my daughter, when we were walking now at the convention center, there are four hotels hooked up together. They all feed into the convention center.
Cool.
So regardless of what hotel you stay at in Rosemont, Dove Sticker 4 have a walkway to get into the convention center, and you could walk through the convention center through this walkway to get to other hotels.
Nice.
So, the hotel, I won't say what hotel we were at, but the hotel we were at, we came back down because we changed. You know, we took off all our makeup and stuff, and you know, as they say, the wig came off, it was just me. And my daughter's just her, and I just had on, you know, regular dress.
Came out.
Yes. Nothing fancy, you know, as they say, we were chilled. And there were two guys in the lobby, and we asked how we got over to the other hotel. And I can say the hotel that the party was at because we didn't stay at it. But it was at the Hyatt, and pretty much everybody knew the Hyatt is where – no, seriously, the Hyatt is where it's publicized because that is the sponsor hotel. So there was supposed to be a party at the Hyatt, and we were going over there. And I wasn't dressed for a party because I knew what I was going to do. So two guys in the lobby from some other convention that was there was like, oh, there's a party, and I kid you not, they followed us. And I swear this is the longest fucking walk that I've ever walked in my life. I felt like I was walking to the damn death chamber.
Was this at night? Was this at night time?
Well, but it's a walkway, so I mean, it's all well lit, but it's a walkway. And they followed us from a hotel, so this, I mean, if you know about Chicago, ain't nobody doing shit in Rosemont, okay? In Chicago, they might do something, but in Rosemont, but let us finish. But they were following us, and we got almost to the Hyatt, and, you know, we were talking about we were just trying to ignore them because they were behind us. They were just trying to get to a party. And the guy somehow came out. My daughter said, well, this is my mommy. And that's how we talk, you know. She's like, that's my mommy. And he's like, he said the one thing where if y'all want to see my head spin around like fucking exorcist, it damn near spun around.
Ooh.
He asked, he said, well, why would you have your daughter in this industry? I said, well, I could teach. He said, why would you teach your daughter this industry? And I don't know if he realized what he said, but my exorcism, black woman, who the hell you talking to, look, came out.
Ooh.
I said, well, I could teach her to be a drug dealer. It came out so quick. I mean, that was first thing. I was like, well, I could always teach her how to be a drug dealer. I said, at least what I'm doing is legal. And he's like, oh, I have nothing against the adult industry, you know. But it was like, I know that I went from ignoring him to I'm getting ready to stomp you. Because how dare you ask me why would I let my daughter into an industry? And then I was like, on top of that, she's legal. I was like, she's 23 years old. She could do what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, okay, my head is going to be spinning around.
Mm-mm.
I'm thinking, okay, am I going to really, really have to go Detroit on this motherfucker because he really don't realize what he just did. But I think he caught it because when I said that I couldn't teach her how to sell drugs, I said, at least what I do is legal. He's like, oh, it's not that I don't like the adult industry. No, you just fucking basically, he was trying to cop tickets to Exotica.
Mm-hmm.
And talking shit. You know, he was trying to come somewhere to try to get into Exotica. You talking shit and you just sit here and ask me how the fuck I got my daughter in this industry. He better be glad that I was tired and my feet were hurting and that I was only going because I had to make an appearance on my birthday because I never make an appearance and it's rude when people invite you places to at least not make an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But I could have stomped his ass from left to right. With that damn question. Because I've never, as long as I've been in this industry, true enough, I waited until my daughter turned 21 to bring her around the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as being out in public with me. I've never had anyone, as long as I've been doing this, ask me that question.
Wow.
My own family, you know, my own family has never asked me that.
Mm-hmm.
And my family knows what I do. And for someone who does not know me, to ask me that was the, you must want me to stomp your ass. Because like I said, everybody who knows me, and they pretty much, you guys know my, it's like an open book. My son, my daughter know what I do. I've been doing this, you know, for almost 10 years now.
I started when my children were in high school, so naturally they weren't coming out to stuff, and I wasn't even going out to stuff. I waited until my children graduated before I even started attending AVN, Exotica, and stuff like that to ensure that anything that would come back on my children, it was coming back on adults who can handle it versus a child.
Yep.
You know, and they've always known what was going on because adults can go and kick your ass. Children have to sit there and kind of take it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, any comments that are made to my son and daughter, you know, they will deal with it how they deal with it. You know, a lot of times she's like, who the hell you think you're talking to? That's my mom. You know, versus when you're talking about children hearing this, it's, you put the shame involved, and what do you do? So I didn't, like I said, I waited until they became adults to even start attending the different events. So for that man to say that, you know, for this individual to say that, that was probably the one time where I was like, I want to hurt somebody. Because like I said, my mother gave her blessing. My father has given his blessing. Both my grandparents have given their blessing.
Okay.
So therefore, you random-ass motherfucker asked me this.
Yeah. So that was the douchebag of Exotica.
Yeah,
was
that
a fan.
Pretty much was.
Yeah.
Like, you drunk mother.
Wow. Damn.
He wasn't even drunk. He was trying to get drunk. And then I think he kind of realized that I think he kind of realized that we were at a private get-together. Because he was like, there's no party down there. I was like, I don't know where the party at. I'm here doing what I'm doing. You know, and I didn't care because there was something going on at the Hyatt. But see, it didn't matter to me what was going on where because I knew what I was going to the Hyatt for.
Yep.
You know, I was going for a private get-together that was not open to the public, even though it was in a public location.
Yeah.
People didn't know who was there. You know, nobody was walking around with big signs saying I'm in the adult industry or nothing. You know, we were there to chill. We had a long day. I mean, Friday, for anybody who knows how we do these shows, the first day and the last day are the longest day of the shows for us.
Mm-hmm.
The first day is the longest day because you're setting up maybe 5 to 6 hours before the show. Some people were setting up until the show started, and then you're going in. We went until midnight on Friday.
Wow. Yep.
And the show started at 5 o'clock. And we were setting up at 9 in the morning. So that's a long day. And in our case, we drove from Detroit, so I didn't get to sleep until 2 o'clock. I was back up at 3:30, quarter to 4, and we were on the road by 4:30, 5 o'clock, going to Chicago.
Yep.
So it was an extremely long day for us.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
And
I mean, some
of
the shows
that
I've set up.
Mm-hmm. I think we're great.
Well, I mean, it's like Miss B said. I mean, when you're setting up the day of the show,
uh-huh.
I mean, even the day before, I mean, you can only set up so much, and then the next day, you set up everything and make sure you got the product displayed and everything, well, in the beer business, everything cold, flowing right, and all that with the food show. And that first day is longest.
Okay.
And the last day, it's long too, but it tears down quick.
I gotcha. Okay.
And it, yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, please get me through this day.
All right.
I mean, it's
oh, we got
time.
Randy on the line too.
Hey.
So I'm bringing Randy in.
Yeah, Randy.
Hey.
There he is.
Hey.
How you
Hello.
Doing? How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, man? How's everything?
Everything's fine. I just got off from work. I guess got off from work. Just got laid, and now I'm relaxing.
Nice. Now that's a good day.
Yeah, right now I'm tired.
Well, I'm glad you had enough strength to dial those numbers and call. That's good.
Yeah.
That's because he wanted to talk about that doggone Rita picture.
Yeah.
That's a Randy call with that Rita picture.
Oh, by the way, thanks for the picture.
You're
you
welcome.
And, Rita Daniels, two of my favorites.
Just for you.
You did that just for me?
Yes.
Wow. See, that means you're very special because I don't get that.
How was Chicago?
I'm lucky if I called. I'm able to do the show next week. Shit. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead, Randy.
How was Chicago? How was
long,
Ms.
but very, very, very profitable, but long.
Oh. Wow. Wow. Oh. When I saw, I just want to say, when I saw that picture of you and Rita, it's just a, it must have, oh my God, I was touched. I was touched. I mean,
always
seriously.
One, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, good. Good for you, dude.
I was touched. I mean, seeing Rita's pretty face and your pretty face together in the same picture, I mean, come on.
And I'm laying all on her titties.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that one. Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, wow. How's the weather over there where you are?
Beautiful. Not too hot, not too cold, no AC.
Wow, really?
Really?
Yeah,
no
exactly.
AC.
No
wow.
AC.
That's awesome. Wish I could see that over here.
Yeah, we got rain.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the major thunderstorms.
Yeah.
They said
we have polar vortex, too. They're calling this our polar vortex because I think the highest it got was 70-something today.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Okay.
Probably go down to about 50 or 40 degrees today.
No, we're not getting that cold in the evening.
Okay.
We're dropping down to the 60s. Like, I got the window open, but I just cut the fan on because my house gets kind of stuffy. My house holds heat.
Oh, yeah.
But,
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Fucking oven.
Yeah, we don't. We're not getting that yet.
I mean, that's the one thing. But you know what? It could be 60 degrees outside, and it could be 70 in my house, just because the brick holds so much heat and the way my house is insulated.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're
absolutely
right.
Old is your house?
The same age as I am, pretty much. Or might be a little bit older. My new house is 46 years old. The house I'm in now, I think, is 60.
Okay.
I think the house I live in got both of those beat. Combined.
Because I actually, I was looking at the paperwork, and I think the house that I'm buying now, I think it was built in 68 or 69, so it's either 46 or 45.
Uh-huh.
I know me and my new house are about the same age. I know the house that I'm in now is older than me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Oh.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Lucky for you, you don't get earthquakes in Detroit.
We get them. We just don't feel them.
How can you get an earthquake when you don't feel it?
It was 0.1. Like what you get,
No, actually, I mean, the way it goes, I mean, we get about once every 10 to 15 years, we do get an earthquake, and it is noticeable. We just had one about 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, we don't get them the way the West Coast gets them, but we do sit on one of the plates.
There was one time in 2011 in New York, but it was very quick. It was like
Baltimore, too.
Yeah, I think it was that same time. It was like September of 2011.
August 23rd. I remember
that's what it was. Yeah, you're right.
August
23rd. Yeah, it was around
Tuesday.
That time, yeah. And
it was
like a, what was it, like a 3 on the Richter scale, whatever it was?
It was a 3 on the Richter scale.
Yeah. Which is not as bad as if it was, 7 or some shit like that,
Mm-hmm.
But.
Everybody ran. My area ran.
You want to hear a quick funny story? So I was interning somewhere, wasting time. And now I can say it because I was wasting time. It was supposed to be an assistant producer type shit, but it turned out to be I was fucking working in the office the whole fucking time. Anyway, so I'm chilling. I'm make sure these you have to sign off to make sure that the people have to be on TV. They have to sign a waiver and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm making sure they get everything. They take pictures of it and everything. So I had to make sure this was all scanned and put it in a folder in a computer and have it all put together and give it to my supervisor. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just doing all that shit. Then all of a sudden I hear people saying, I'm looking in my Twitter account at the time, and it said, oh, there was like a little earthquake in Manhattan. And mind you, I was in Manhattan, so I didn't feel shit. I didn't feel absolutely nothing. And everybody's like, yeah, oh, you didn't feel that. I go, no. And I was in a building. Now, I wasn't in a tall building, but I was in a pretty, maybe, I don't know, 15 floors, 20 floors or so. And I didn't feel shit. I was like, wow, you know, so some bullshit earthquake that was. I mean, I'm glad. I mean, you know, I was in a fucking Manhattan, and God forbid a major earthquake in Manhattan, we're dead. Well, the fucking buildings all over the place. You fucked. It doesn't matter if you're inside or outside, you know.
And here you're more concerned about the dog on Atlantic Ocean and them damn plates out there, because if them plates shift, that's just like being on the West Coast.
And guess what that means? Tsunami.
Glad I don't live on the West Coast.
I was going to say, man, you guys are lucky because we had two earthquakes last night here in Oklahoma.
Daddy.
Oh, my God.
You serious?
We had a 4.1 at 2:18 a.m. and a 4.0 at 4:20-ish a.m. Yeah.
Damn.
Wow.
I hope Kevin Durant's okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was like 3 miles from the epicenter of these quakes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's like...
Wow.
Hope you didn't lose nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
No, actually, I mean, when I woke up...
laughing.
At like 6:30, 7 o'clock,
uh-huh.
It's like, yeah, okay, go ahead, check the house, check outside.
Ooh,
yeah, okay. Everything's good.
Like, wow. You know what? I never knew that Oklahoma can get an earthquake. I never knew that shit. Seriously.
Yeah,
earthquakes all over the country.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, I never really think of Oklahoma. You know, it's like here. It's the same shit. Like, you don't really think of it. Same thing with Detroit. You know, I don't think of it. I'm having earthquakes.
I live in Baltimore.
James, I drove over the road, and all the times I was in California, never felt an earthquake.
Good. Shit, you know what I mean?
First
driving
time
on highway, that should happen.
First time I ever felt one here at home.
Was that been
sweet? I was in the San Francisco earthquake in 89, and I was in the Tokyo earthquake in 89.
Okay, you were there in 1989 during the World Series when the earthquake happened?
I was in both earthquakes. We were getting ready to fly out of San Francisco when the earthquake hit, and we felt it start.
Wow.
And 2 weeks later, or 3 weeks later, I was in the Tokyo earthquake, which was the biggest in Japan history to happen at 2 in the morning.
Wow.
So I tell everybody, I know what an earthquake feel like because within how many people can say they were on two different continents and was in two different earthquakes.
Oh my God, that's because that shit in the debate, that was some serious shit. Wasn't that like a 9 or some shit? Like an 8 or whatever?
Yeah.
Candlestick Park was damaged from that earthquake.
Yes, the bridge, the Oakland bridge, you know, that bridge that in the bay, not the,
the 580 was messed up. The 580 was shut down. Yes, it was crumbled down, and it took a year and a half to open back up.
I remember seeing that like yesterday. Holy shit. Yeah.
Because
I remember,
that's also the bridge that the BART run on. And for anybody who don't know what the BART is, BART is the Bay Area Rapid Transit Authority, which is equivalent to the subways in New York and all that, but it's BART out there.
Wow.
And BART was shut down, because, so you had to use strictly buses, so anybody who rode the train could not catch the train during that time because that's how BART ran, you know, to connect the two cities. So, yeah, I know about that. And then, like I said, I was in the Tokyo earthquake, and I was actually 600 miles from the epicenter and felt it. So the Tokyo earthquake was actually worse than San Francisco because the epicenter was Tokyo, and I was in Misawa 600 miles away, and it hit at 2 in the morning, and it woke up. When I say it woke us up, because I was pregnant with my son.
Wow.
I got the phone call. We hadn't even moved into our new home yet. I got the phone call at the hotel asking was I was okay. I was ordered onto the base for observation because they didn't know if I was going to go on labor. And it wasn't just me. All women who were in that, you know, vicinity of getting ready to have a baby were ordered into the military hospital. So, yeah, I know about fucking earthquakes. You know, I tell everybody, not only have I lived through two of them, you know, those are the two that I really felt. I've been in the Detroit earthquake, but to be in two different continents within weeks of each other and two different major earthquakes,
Wow.
So,
Yep. I've had my share of them damn things, and both of them happened in 1989. Both of them happened in November. Therefore, I think that I can tell people about fucking earthquakes better than anybody.
Yeah.
So basically, it was just a few weeks apart because that World Series, it was late October, and by the time they had when they started over again, it was like another week and a half, 2 weeks. So it was in November when they restarted the World Series because of that earthquake. So, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like I said, it was November in Tokyo because I remember being at both of them. And like I said, literally, the San Francisco earthquake, it started shaking before we were actually in the plane taking off flying into Nashville because I came home to visit family before I had my son. I was transitioning from one duty station to another.
Mm-hmm.
And we had flown in from Korea, tell you where all my shopping was done. And we were in San Francisco. We had boarded the plane, and we were actually taxiing.
Mm-hmm.
And at first we thought the shaking, because we was like, dog, you know, I was like, damn, I was like, the plane shouldn't be shaking this bad. Naturally, we weren't thinking about dying. We just think about the damn plane shaking so bad. And once we got fully off the ground, the pilot waited until we leveled out, and he announced that what we felt was not the plane, was that we were actually in an earthquake.
Wow.
So
imagine.
That's crazy.
All I can
and
say is,
like I said,
wow.
So
all I can say,
later, we were in Tokyo.
I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt.
Hello.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, I lived in Baltimore 50 years, or all my life. I've only seen one earthquake, which is that earthquake. So I can say I was in an earthquake, but it was it was crazy. I mean, I was in the library doing the computer thing, and then it shook. Well, first time I thought a truck would pass by. I mean, then the second time it shaked real hard.
Okay.
The second time I said, I'm getting out of here. You turn your computer off, my ass is out of here. My ass is grass. I'm sorry, because in case something falls down on me, I'm getting out of here as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
That's it, Randy.
Yeah.
And see, here in Oklahoma, we actually have, like, two different kinds. We have normally the one that actually shakes, I mean, literally the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have the other one that is the sound. And when it hits, it's almost like a truck just hit your house or building.
Wow.
And not a lot of shaking, but just something hit you.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of shaking, all right. You're doing the shaking. He's like, oh, shit.
And the crazy part is when I got to my apartment, things were on the floor. I mean, my TV was on the floor, my DVDs were on the floor, books. Everything was on the floor when I got home.
Was the TV still working, or did it broke because of that?
It still works. Thank God.
Good.
Thank God.
Good, yeah, I know.
I mean, I say to myself, my apartment is not this messed up when I left it. It was so not messed up.
Say, hey, what's going on here? Oh, shit, yeah, an earthquake, yeah.
Yeah. So I had to straighten everything. I got mad and pissed.
Hell, yeah.
Got to straighten everything up and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
one thing last night or this morning.
Wow.
It kept shaking. It's like, oh, shit, watch TV.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Do not fall, 42-inch flat screen.
Especially if you have those smart TVs, you'd be like, oh, hell no. I risked my life to save those shit.
No.
I mean, that's in my bedroom. It's like, okay, it's all good.
Kids,
I'm going back to bed.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, because, I would cry. I mean,
that's all it only happens in California. At least it was when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. That's all earthquakes only happen in California.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, like you, Randy, it's like, okay, earthquakes, California.
Yeah.
Or maybe once every 50 years up in Alaska.
Well, I can imagine.
And that's it.
If that happened, you know, in like in a cold-ass fucking place.
Yeah.
Shit. Fucking icebergs and all over the fucking
because they.
But I can't imagine having earthquakes in Detroit. I can't imagine that at all.
Me either.
Imagine that.
I can't imagine that. As long as Hitsville, USA is fine, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Don't let that shit get fucked up. Too much history in Motown.
Yeah. Well, hell, it blew my mind when Washington, D.C. had an earthquake.
Ah, that's
the same quake, yeah.
It's like,
remember when they got that quake? That's why the Washington Monument, not the Washington, what's the skinny one? Washington Monument?
Yeah,
the
one was like,
closed.
Yeah,
they
the one
was
like a penis. Yeah,
it was closed for a while.
Two and a half years?
Isn't that the ugliest thing? That makes no sense to me, that monument. I remember seeing that, like, I remember going on a trip to D.C. I remember looking through my, my hotel window, and I was like, this monument makes no sense. Like, at least the Lincoln Memorial makes sense. You see Lincoln, you know. But this makes no sense. How is this for Washington?
Well, I got a little something for you. We,
I'm
in Baltimore,
tell you
where
what
I'm
DC
from,
has.
We have the original Washington Monument.
Ah.
We have the original Washington Monument.
Oh.
The one before. The one before the one in D.C.
Okay.
Just want to let you know. We have the original. As
okay.
a matter of fact, they're doing renovations on it now.
How does that look? I never knew that.
Look better than the one in D.C.
That's what I'm saying, but they do look better. I can shit out something in the toilet that looks better than that. I'm going to tell you what DC has
the best of.
Wow, this will be beautiful, Bob. Look at this. Yes, I will put two red lights that keep glowing. Now, I don't understand why they do that because of planes and shit, but I'm saying it looks weird. I said, boy, that looks like an evil person lives in there. You know, it looks like a villain of Batman lives in that shit. You know, like, what the fuck? And then it's by that water that smells like shit, you know, the that whatever the fuck they do in that water.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then another thing that's DC to me that's so fucked up is that here you have all this nice shit, you know, well, you know what I'm talking about, like the monuments or whatever, and then across the street, the fucking ghetto. Like, what the fuck? That's so fucked up. It's like, wow, that's a big fuck you, you know? That's fucking, that pissed me off. Yeah.
The ghetto. One side of the street is all nice, and the next
that's
is ghetto.
That's why it's Chocolate City.
Shit.
Chocolate City. That's what they call it.
That's the original Chocolate City.
Yes. Right, Missy.
Oh, my God.
Like I was saying, that's Georgetown for you.
There you go, Georgetown.
Georgetown.
I remember going with my grandmother at the time on a trip, and we happened to stop at D.C. Yeah, let's go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, wherever we were going. And I'm walking and say, hold up. There's a fucking, all this shit one side, and then the other side fucking look like East New York and shit. Like, what the fuck?
Well, I'm going to say, like, hell? Anybody who should not be considered a U.S. citizen, the people who are born in D.C. should not be considered U.S. citizens. They're the District of fucking Columbia. They're not even a damn state. They're not even a territory. At least Puerto Rico is a territory. You know, they got their own culture.
Yes.
What
we're a commonwealth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo.
Yes, we are a commonwealth. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, D.C. is between Maryland and Virginia.
You got Guam and Puerto Rico. Okay, but D.C. is actually the capital of the United States that has no purpose other than to house Howard University, which I do love, and Georgetown University. But in that, I mean, it really serves no purpose. I mean, at least when you're from Puerto Rico, you can say you're Puerto Rican. When you're from Guam, you can say you're Guamanian. What the fuck do you call yourself when you're from D.C.?
A politician. Yeah, I don't know.
Bingo. Politician.
That's a good one.
I mean,
seriously, because, you know, like I said, Puerto Rico, Puerto Ricans, Guam, Guamalians, U.S. Virgin Islands, Virgin Islanders. And then you got D.C. I mean, first of all, they don't have a prison system. They have to go into federal prisons. I mean, seriously, they are the one place in the country where they have no purpose other than to say that they probably, you know, got a whole lot of damn crime there.
Oh, hell
any
yeah.
crime you commit in D.C., you're going to a federal prison. So you're going to Camp Cupcake because, see, most fucking federal prisons are cupcakes, you know. Shit, I'll go to D.C. and commit a damn crime because I'm sure that as long as I don't kill nobody, if I do crack like fucking Marion Barry, I'm going to some damn, you know, some damn prison where I'm going to be able to learn how to needlepoint or something and maybe get me a new skill and come out like Martha Stewart and make more money. So, I mean.
Hell yeah.
And I mean, I love Howard University. You know, I'm not. I still would
yeah,
like
that
to
and Georgetown. That's
Master
true.
Howard,
I knew. I was trying to remember the other one.
And Georgetown.
Yeah, Howard, that's right. Howard University. Yeah.
Georgetown and Howard. But come on now, you can't afford to live in D.C. The cost of living in D.C. is so fucking high that people gotta fucking live in the butt part as Virginia to drive in, and the butt part. I mean, their fucking traffic there is worse than traffic in New York.
Oh, trust
and
me.
And I say
know.
This honestly.
That's true.
I say this honestly because I have family. I have my children's godfather lives in Virginia, and I had to fly out of Reagan International coming back home. It's
mm-hmm.
a Sunday. I guess don't nobody in that area know Jesus. And yes, I said that they don't know Jesus. Because there is no reason why I have a flight that leaves at 2 in the afternoon, and this is pre-9/11. We're talking about the 1990s, very pre-9/11.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
There, why do I have to leave 4 hours before my fucking flight leave to get to D.C. because the fucking damn freeway is so backed up?
Mm-hmm.
That's for me to get into. At the time, it wasn't called Reagan International. It was called Dulles.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck Reagan get a damn airport on the same? I like Dulles better. But either way, we drove in. You know, it took forever to get in there, and I'm like, really? We went to Baltimore to go to dinner one night to meet some of his friends. It took us forever. The only place we were quick to get to was Virginia Beach because that was going south instead of fucking north.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... Seriously, they don't know how to drive there.
Yes.
They're not even known for anything. Every other state has some type of food they're known for. What are they known for? The damn chili that the president likes? Well, I don't have any control of chili.
I mean, no offense, but when I drove over the road and going through D.C., I hit the loop and stayed away. And it was still a nightmare.
Yeah.
And,
so I was
you
just
know,
wondering.
Go ahead. Yeah, what are you wondering now?
I was just wondering. I mean, y'all talking about D.C. and stuff. You know, I'm sitting back. I'm chilling, you know.
Yeah, I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the most diverse shows I think we ever did. Covered every fucking thing, man. Exotica. I mean, there's more things I can ask about Exotica. I mean, we still got like 14 minutes. Or actually 13.
Yeah, because that's what the show was supposed to be about tonight was a guy.
Whoops. I think we went a little off.
Nah.
Oh, off the subject there.
Time, real quick. Papa, was there any newbies out there that in Exacto that you didn't recognize, but they seemed okay, that they have like some sort of something going on with themselves or whatever?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay. How about Tara Patrick?
Actually,
you seen her out there?
I mean, who, Tara?
Yeah, you see Tara?
Yeah, I actually saw her. She did her show. Yeah, I saw her. We didn't get a chance to talk. We were supposed to talk on Sunday. But, yeah, I saw Tara. We talked for a second. And she's like, yeah, I'm on the show on the 29th. I'm sweaty. I got to go, Anna. But at least she put a face
cool.
with the name. So.
She's very cool.
No,
cool.
She was just really rushing, and it was late at night. I mean, it was, as they say, it was a long day, so I understood, but I made sure I gave her a pen and everything. So, I mean, I saw Tara. I mean, I guess I didn't have time to be disappointed because I was too busy making money, which is always a good thing.
Which is the main
thing,
of course.
Right. So, I walked around, but... The only thing I saw that I didn't like, and I'm actually going to address that privately with Exotica because I don't want to put that public what I'm going to address, but
okay.
It was something that was not cool, and we will be dealing with possible copyright infringement. But like this, there's a possible conflict of interest that was going on that will be addressed.
Wow.
But so like this, I know what my twin looks like in, as a Caucasian fat white woman. But
yeah.
I will be with that later.
A doppelganger.
Oh, doppelganger! Yeah, don't say that, because if that happens, that means you're gonna die.
So
let me ask
you something
about Exotica. Was there a lot of people visiting Exotica?
Yeah, was that visiting?
The crowds were Friday, which was Ladies Free Friday, was very good. The crowds were consistent. Saturday was a little dead, and Sunday was
Sunday is always a dead day for Exotica, you know.
Okay.
And the people who come in are looking for freebies. And
right.
if anybody was watching my tweets on Sunday, there was a person who actually purchased one of the wands, the Miss V wand.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere somebody must have said that I lowered the price. You know, I had to clarify
uh-huh.
that shit real quick. The Miss V wand did not go on sale. The price was not lowered. But they said, the tweet came to me. I purchased this yesterday. If I would have known it was going to be cheaper, I would have got it. I would have waited. I immediately responded to that tweet and said, it is still $65. It is not going down. So, and I will say this because this is my show, and I will say it again. For anybody who puts out that the Miss V wand went down in price on Saturday or Sunday, the Miss V wand is $65. It was sold for $65 plus tax. It was $71.01 with the tax included, and that's what
mm-hmm.
everyone paid who purchased it. No one paid less than $71.01 for that wand on any given day of Exotica.
Yeah.
$71.01.
Yes.
And one cent, please.
I'm just putting it out there, you know.
I just love that $71.01
with tax, and that's what everybody paid. Nobody paid less than that. And
hey.
That's the one thing I do want to put out there because there was somehow a rumor got out very quick, and I nixed it immediately that I cut prices on Sunday. For one, I will say this, and I will stand by this. It was my birthday weekend, and I will say by this, and y'all could call me a bitch. I'll be the bitch always. If I have to work my birthday weekend, you motherfuckers will not get a discount, period. I'm very adamant on that. The fact that I'm giving up my birthday, you're getting a treat for me showing up. I don't give deals. First of all, I run a business. My business is not dependent on if you buy something here. These prices are going to be the same on my website before I go to Exotica and after. And if all I did was shows, I may do that, but I don't only do shows. Therefore, no disrespect to my customers, no disrespect to my fans, but understand, unless your ass drops at least $500, rest assured, you will probably not begin a discount from Ms. V, and I will be honest with that. I run a business. I have bills to pay. I have employees to pay. I cannot pay employees on discounts. I have to pay them what I agreed to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
If I discount the price, that means I'm discounting what they make. I cannot take food out of my employees' mouths at the end of the day. I have vendors I have to pay. I have gas I have to pay. I have everything I have to pay. And I'm just going to put it to you like this for anybody who thinks I'm being a bitch. Do you go to work and your boss say, you know what, I think because it's a sunny day outside and I didn't like what you was wearing, then I'm going to pay you a little bit less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or because, guess what, it's Friday. I know you ain't doing all the work you're supposed to be doing, so I'm going to pay you less today. Because it's Friday.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Therefore, if your ass is not going to get paid less on Friday for not doing the same amount of work you're supposed to do on Monday, why would I give you a deal on Sunday?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I don't work for commission.
My employees still have to get paid.
Bingo.
And my employees,
yes.
And my employees that come to Exotica work on commission. On top of that, when I bring employees with me, I'm paying for their hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying for their food. So when I bring... For anybody who say, oh, well, Tatted Beauty is with you, guess what? Tatted Beauty don't work for free. Let's
okay.
get that clear.
Mm-hmm.
Tatted Beauty gets paid commission.
Mm-hmm.
Tatted Beauty has to have her hotel room paid for. Tatted Beauty has things that are required. That is in the contract with all of my employees. When we're at Exotica, Tatted Beauty is not my child. Tatted Beauty is my employee. So for anybody who may even remotely think that somebody is getting a deal, I have employees to pay. When I brought in the young lady on Saturday, I had to pay her. She did not work for free. When I go to Exotica's and I'm bringing my security with me, I'm paying for my security. I'm paying that hourly rate for their security,
Mm-hmm. Plus, I'm paying for their hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't stay in cheap hotels. I don't have my employees staying in cheap hotels. So that means if I'm staying at the Embassy Suites, my staff is staying at the Embassy Suites. If
right.
I'm staying at the Hilton, my staff is staying at the Hilton. Since I don't do Super 8 and Motel 6, my employees do not stay at Super 8 and Motel 6. I keep it real. I don't put my employees at a lower level than myself. If I won't stay there, they don't stay there. I don't care what's going on. That's just the way it is.
Cool.
Yeah.
So for anyone who may think that I'm giving deals or discounts, my customers who are on my mailing list get special deals and gifts to them. But overall, I have some of the most reasonable prices out there. There's no need for me to give a discount when I'm already one of the most reasonable retailers in this industry right now. Okay, now
yes.
That I've got off the high horse.
Now that you...
keeping it real.
No,
you're just keeping
good,
it real.
That's it. I mean, hey, if I'm working hourly, okay, I'm going to work hourly. If I'm on commission, I've done it. You're going to bust your ass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The more you sell commission, the more you're going to make per hour.
Exacto mundo.
Yeah. I mean, I work in a restaurant.
And my commission at Exotica. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing, if I cut the price on a product, that's cutting into their commission.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot
right.
do that to
yep.
my employees. I will not do it.
Exactly.
Well, crazy.
We have 5 minutes left of the show already. It's unbelievable. Not four.
Yeah.
Three.
Don't say
yeah.
three. Stop it. So what you were trying to say, Randy, before we wrap this
okay.
up?
Well, I mean, I've been working in the restaurant business for 28 years. I mean, sometimes I go by tips. And I mean,
yeah.
I mean like
tips
working your ass off.
For the people, yeah.
I just work my ass off. And more,
mm-hmm.
I mean, more money I make, I mean, I just live off my tips. I mean,
exactly.
So,
you're a waiter, exactly.
Yeah, but I know what she means. That's all I got to say about that.
Of course. Of course. I have actually more questions, but we've run out of time.
You know, we can't go over. We're not locked in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you need to go over, you can go over.
Because
Thursday we're talking sports and strictly sports.
Yes. Sports with a little bit of sex?
Yeah. So ask your questions, Chang.
All right. So let's see. Let me have another one here. Let's see. Oh yeah. By the way, so with your daughter, did she have like a great experience helping out with the V's After Dark industry? And I noticed. And who the hell was that guy massaging her feet?
That was actually a foot slave, and
ooh, interesting.
He was brought to us by Mr. Stick from the Exotica Dungeon. And
right.
for anybody who knows about the Exotica Dungeon, there's Mr. C, Mr. Stick, a few other people over there. And I had gotten a foot massage from him the day before, and I was saying how fabulous he was. And because of us working on Sunday, we didn't get a chance to get over there, so she brought him to us. And
cool.
he was actually supposed to be my daughter and myself, but he is actually a foot slave, and, I mean, that is what he does. And it was fabulous, you know. He gave
right.
some of the best foot massages out there. I mean, I would have got mine later, but
yeah.
he, I apologize to Mr. Stick. I forgot his name, so I'm sorry. But he is fabulous, fabulous.
Nice. So 1 to 10, will you give the massage like 9.9 or what?
I would give him a fucking 15.
Wow.
I mean, he's fabulous. And this wasn't, you know how somebody just want to rub your feet? This was not a person rubbing my feet. This was really he really gets intense into it. I mean, the ball of the feet and everything. I mean, put it like this. All I could do is say if I could have brought him home with me, like when I be out there wearing my heels, like just my feet. I would do it. I mean, I need to find me a foot slave because I swear the work that he did on my feet for the 2 days that he did on it made it so bearable. Oh, my God. Fabulous.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Mm.
And Did your daughter had a real good time?
You know, this is not her first show, so
yeah, I know.
It's always worked for. I'm just saying. I would have to say, I guess she did. You know, when we have a shitty show, put it like this: when we have a shitty show, we have a shitty show together. When we have a good show, we have a good show together. So I have to say, yes, she had a good show because, see, if I don't make no money, she'll make no money.
Exactly.
if it's a shitty show for me, it's a shitty show for her. All right.
And
believe me, we've had shitty shows.
Yes, you've told me. Yes, you said about yes in the past. Yes, you have. So, would you recommend if when they have it in Chicago again, would you go back? It was pretty good, right?
Chicago was nice to me this time. So, actually, there are a few things we're actually going to be talking. I came home and for those of you who know, I have a business partner who's also my assistant, but he hasn't been. My assistant has been on hiatus because he's going back through school, but he's also a business partner of mine. He's actually one of my investors. And
okay.
I came back with some ideas from Chicago. And we talked, and we're doing some research, and we're going to actually do a proposal to Exotica. And if it goes through, you guys will hear about it, but it's going to be a positive thing because I was happy. And when I ran it, by him, just with the verbal, what I gave him, which was without me putting anything down on paper, you know, just said, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm thinking. He loved the idea, and, you know, when I ask people for money,
yeah,
but like this, when you ask him for money, because, you know, I was told I couldn't do Atlantic City because of money, so when I come out and I ask for money, I had to come correctly. And And for anybody who don't know, this show was backed strictly by me. My investors didn't cover this show because of my productivity this year. So this was strictly me. So for, that's another reason why I ain't get no fucking discounts. Because
yeah.
I ain't have no investors' money. I ain't have nobody else's money. You know, this is strictly Miss V's money because my investors, when they were adamant that they were not going to back it. And I can't be mad at them. I mean, they have to see a return and they have to see something positive. Because I came back with something positive, with me putting my all money out there, am I getting my money back? Hell no.
Wow. That sucks.
But because, you know what? I'm still an investor in my company, so, I mean, you know, my investors invest in what they believe in, and because of our last show in Chicago, they weren't happy. And I said I was going back regardless, and the agreement was if I go do something regardless, I'm not going to be backed with the financial backing that I asked for. And so I could show that it's worth it.
Well,
it's only fair when you use other folks' money, because you got to remember, these people have gone a great amount of time with no return on their money.
Wow.
You know, so it's just like, boom. They've been writing me checks with no return.
Wow. And what's a long time with no return, if you could say?
Where?
Months?
3-4 years.
Well, years?
Three or four years.
Holy
so
shit.
They haven't seen a return.
Wow.
So I have to respect when they tell me no.
Yeah, I can understand.
And like I said, I'm blessed to, you know, I'm very lucky to have investors that when I ask, you know, they normally give me a budget. And if I do something that doesn't give them a return or they don't like what happens, then I'm given a lesser budget. And then if I want to do something that they're not going to back, then I have to go and back it myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I'm lucky to be blessed to be able to back my own stuff. Everybody doesn't have that blessing to say, okay, if my investor don't do this, I can still do it. So for those people who say, oh, well, this, no, I'm just blessed to be able to say that when my investors don't back me, I put myself in a position where I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rather have my investors because I would rather give a return on what I'm getting versus putting my own money out there.
Exactly.
So, yeah, they, you know, 3 or 4 years not having a return, I'm not mad at them for not backing.
No, understandable. Wow.
You know, after Chicago, they're a little bit happy. So a couple of people were like they were wishing they would have did Chicago, you know, but...
That's it.
it worked out good for me because I backed myself, and, you know, but I was also able to show, hey, when it also showed my investors that when you don't back me, I'm not dependent solely on you. I'm just not going to say, give me, give me, give me. And then when you say no, I'm going to say, okay, well, I just won't do it. If I really want to do it, now they see that I'm still going to do it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times investors want to see that. They want to see that if they don't give you what you're asking for, what, how are you going to react? Is it all about the money or is it really about what you truly believe?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And they got a chance to see, I truly believe in this. On top of I released my toy, I'm so happy. So what's your next question?
That was very good. And how many?
Yeah.
I don't remember you saying that. How many of those did you sell, those wands? How many of those wands you sold?
We took 10 with us, and we sold out.
Wow.
Wow. Cool.
Very good.
And we gave ourselves a limit. You know, even though there are more that were purchased, we decided that we didn't want, not want to overkill, and we thought 10 was a nice number.
It's a nice even number, like 10.
Well, you know, at first I was only going to do like 5, and it was like, no, take more than 5, take 10. And I'm happy with the 10. I'm happy that we took 10. You know, we sold out, so it's always good when you sell out of that particular product. As a matter of fact, I sold out of a couple of products.
That's awesome. So basically, was there a lot of fans from that listened to the show that actually approached you in the booth?
There were fans. I mean, there were some people who had never heard of me, which that didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were people who actually came specifically to see me. So I had a combination of both. I had people who, you know, were shocked because of my feelings about Chicago. A lot of people were taking double takes when they saw that I was there.
Okay.
And they were like, you're here. Like, yeah, I'm here. So I think a lot of people were pleasantly surprised that I was there. And then they saw that since our last showing in Chicago, we've done a lot of growing and a lot of change. Our first showing in Chicago, you know, we were still very, very green. That was the very first show we had ever done. So we were green, and we came in this time with a cat. You know, I said we came in like a real retail store. Cash register set up. It was already pre-programmed. Products were scanned in.
Yeah,
you know, when
well,
I say
obviously.
Came up in that bad boy, like, who you fucking with? You know, we came up in there. Cash register set up. We wasn't writing shit on paper. I mean, we went up. Our very first one, we were wet trying to write stuff down, and we were taking our time doing things, you know. It was like, boom, the only glitch we had was our credit cards, because for whatever reason, our particular fucking smartphones didn't like reading a credit card reader, but we were still getting credit cards through. But, you know, it's like when people say how much it is, it's like, boom, because when I say, bitch put our money out there this time, I didn't get just any old cash register. I got the cash register with the gun on it where you could scan everything. So every single product was scanned into the register. So when we went to go bring up stuff, if they wanted more than one thing, we're scanning products. And that tax was being calculated in. All the things that we did not do before, we knew what Chicago sales tax was. So we already had it programmed in. So we were doing the tax right. And people were taking us more serious because they was like, oh, we thought this was $65. You got to pay tax. You don't argue with a cash register because they didn't see us making up stuff. This is coming up automatically on the register.
Yeah, because
so we didn't have to do
America.
A lot of
mm-hmm.
Right, but because we did it that way, I think that was one of the reasons why our sales were probably up more than other people, because we had the cash register. We weren't not
that.
Writing out anything.
So success with the cash
you
register,
know.
Yes.
And like I said, we were able to do price lookups, and then each employee had their own cashier, you know, and club numbers, so it wasn't just us doing stuff, you know. I had my own club number, so each person who was ringing up, who was selling stuff, even if they weren't on the register, if employee 3 was the one who sold this, employee 3 is who got credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
If employee 2 did it, you know, we just did it the whole way. We were, when I say from A to Z, if it was a credit card, we were waiting. Whoever was doing the credit card, products were being rung up. another person, okay, this is how much it is, swipe that credit card, this is how much it is. Until that credit card cleared, we were not clearing out that sale, and we were saying charge. When they were paying cash, we were giving them back their change. We didn't have to think about it. The things that retail stores do, that's what separated us.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
That is awesome. And I got, maybe one of the most important questions of the night of this Exotica. And here it goes. Did anybody ask about me? Where's James? Where's that crazy-ass co-host from Meet at the Dark?
I mean, I'm sorry to say, but nobody did.
Okay, well, that's not a surprise.
Yeah.
Like how serious I was at first, right? that's not a surprise. Yeah. That's cool. But I'm more importantly, though, I'm glad that shit worked out. You know, you sold the wands. You had a good time with Miss Leighton Benton. What was it? Did you have your drink of choice when you were out there? Remember your special drink? Did you have your drink?
I just did vodka and cranberry the whole time I was there. So, I took my own alcohol with me.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure of that.
Okay, for anybody from Illinois who may be hearing, my alcohol is not open, but I know what I want to drink, and I also know the laws on where alcohol can and cannot be. So if it's open, I know it cannot be in the actual cab of my car. It can be in my trunk. So for those of y'all who may be thinking, no, I've gotten to this point where, especially when I'm doing trips like that, I know what I drink. I know what brand I drink. And I know my system because I know what gives me a headache and will make me sick and I have to be able to function. So I actually took my own with me so that I could drink. You know, I got I got myself a nice cup and I drank it before I went there and I was able to walk in with my cup. And that is how I did every day. And the only time I did not have my own alcohol was when I went to the little get-together. And then I still stuck with vodka and cranberry. I mean, did I have my Kettle One? No, I did not take. I mean, for anybody, everybody knows my drink is Kettle One. And I did not have Kettle One this weekend.
If that was your
question, I did not have my Kettle One. I love
basically
Kettle One.
That's what I was saying. Did you drink your drinky drink?
No, I didn't.
No drinky drink?
No, I didn't.
I'm depressed.
I didn't have my Kettle One. I mean, I love Kettle One. But, because of where I was going, and I know that, you know, since I couldn't tweet that I was drinking it, and my big thing, because I didn't want to get anybody in trouble, because they did have bar service there. I mean, Chicago is the only venue. And if Fort Lauderdale is the same, don't quote me. To my knowledge, Chicago is the only venue where you can drink at it. I mean, they actually serve alcohol there in Chicago. You cannot walk around with it, but they have an area. So if your ass want to sit there and get drunk, you could drink it. I mean, they had two areas, and they called the VIP area. So they had one that was the same level as the stage. So you had people down on the floor, but you could go to this elevated VIP area where they had a bartender serving alcohol. So you could go up there, watch everything that was going on the main stage, have your drink, and be awake. You know, you weren't with the regular crowd. So with them having that there, I mean, I don't even know if they do Kettle One really in Chicago. I mean, Kettle One is, you know, every state has like their little funky drink that they really do. And I don't know what the liquor control in Illinois does. So I know Michigan doesn't have a problem with Kettle One, but there's some alcohols they do have a problem with, because there is a, and I'll say this because I know that a lot of people do it, but there is a whipped cream that's infused with alcohol. And the state of Michigan is really trying to regulate that. The first time I ever had it, it came from Ohio, where it wasn't regulated. But when I say alcohol, it's straight-up liquor and these different whipped creams. And I didn't realize one of them that I had gotten was a cognac. I didn't know that it was a cognac versus a vodka until afterwards. Like, they do cherry, vanilla, chocolate, all these different crazy flavors. And they have actual liquor. Ain't no flavors in there. It's actual liquor. And it's whipped cream. And, I mean, you could do that shit. And I bought some for one of my girlfriends to taste, and I didn't realize it was cognac instead of white liquor. And it knocked me on my motherfucking ass. Because I was drinking vodka. And I'm doing these fucking whipped cream shots. You know, you're laying in back and talking about, hey, whipped cream shots, and spraying the shit in somebody's motherfucking mouth, and come to realize that your bitch ass doing fucking cognac, and I don't do dark liquor. I'm not good with dark liquor at all.
So no, actually what I'm hearing is you
I'm
actually
mean.
Did
I'm very mean.
Some bootlegging.
Yeah. Ooh, like, that's so like old school.
Yeah, you're going to Boardwalk Empire on us and shit.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's okay, Miss Pete.
I did not do no bootlegging. I didn't do top shelf. I did middle shelf. And for anybody who wants to know, I'll say I did Amsterdam. So anybody who knows about Amsterdam, it's a good vodka.
Yeah.
I don't do that fucking 5 o'clock shit. I did Amsterdam, okay?
It's okay. I've taken alcohol across the border a few times myself.
Yeah. So
I mean, hell, depending on what state you go to, that shit could be expensive.
No shit.
So, what else like was going? I mean, I know you were busy doing what you were doing, but did you notice anything else that was going on that was at least different, or like what other people were doing, like what the hell they were presenting on their booths, some of these people?
Well, the one thing I do want to talk about is Eve's Angels.
Okay.
If I can, real quick.
Sure.
I don't know how much time we got left in this last hour.
Sure.
But Eve's Angels is a nonprofit that was there, and there are a lot of the shows, and I actually got a chance to talk to them more. And what it is, Eve's Angels is a nonprofit that goes into the different strip clubs here in Michigan. And they go in and they talk to the female dancers and those who are getting out the industry, let them know how to get out. They do adult dancers, porn stars, and stuff like that. And they assist them with getting out of the industry to transition back into mainstream. And they were talking to my daughter, and then they happened to be talking to me. And everybody, you know, it's never been a secret that I used to dance in the bar. And
yeah.
We're actually going to do some work with Eve Angels, going up into the bar to talk to them, because
nice. It
is hard. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, I was in the bar when I really was dancing to go through school. You know, I really was taking care of my family. But a lot of, it's not a way of life. It's a way to do it. And because of when I was in the bar, I was getting a paycheck from the bar. You know, it was a whole lot different than it is now. And they said that I would probably be a good person to be up in there, you know, to talk to them, because I have, you know, I did a full transition. I left gracefully. I was never on drugs. You know, I went back to college. I was in college already. So I finished school, you know. A lot of people know that I have a very diverse background when it comes down to my education and the things I've done. So they were saying for me to be able to go in and talk to these girls and say, hey, you guys, you know, I think they need to unionize and get back, make the owners pay them again, because right now these girls are paying to go to work. Some of them are never going to get up out of there, or if they do, they're going to be broke and they don't have a transition, because these bar owners are making these young ladies pay to work in their bar. They should be paying them. They charge these men and these women who come in covers to get in. Then these young ladies have to pay the bar to be there. They have to pay these fucking fake-ass managers to manage them. I never had a manager when I was a bar. Then they got to tip out the fucking damn. They got to tip. Everybody gets paid out of their money before the end of the night. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it was when I worked in the bar. And the only reason why these bar owners are getting away with this is because these young ladies don't know any better. And they probably tell me never to come back up in the bar once I talk to them, because, see, I worked in the bar and I got paid cash. I filled out a W-9. I was a contract employee. I was paid by the bar every single week, you know, and we did just like every other business. We got a week and a whole. So, you know, your first week you were working, you weren't paid. Your second week you worked, you got paid for the week previously. But your tips were yours. The only thing you were asked to do was to tip out the doggone DJ. And that's because we worked in sets and you had your music. I brought in my own music. When I was up on that stage, my music was playing. And there was no such thing as a manager. I wish some motherfucker would have tried to say he was going to manage me, you know, in a damn bar. What you going to manage?
Yeah, right?
Nothing.
You know, you want me to pay you? You know, I know how to, when I worked in the bar, I had to audition. I mean, you auditioned on that day shift, and you auditioned with customers there, and the customer kind of dictated if you were going to have a job or not. And I could tell you, I remember auditioning at plenty of bars, you know, I was told no at bars, you know. I'm not going to lie to you. Every single bar I went into, I was not allowed to work at. I had at least three bars that I knew I was, no, four, I take that back, four bars that I was told that I could not work at.
Wow.
And you know what? I didn't have a problem because I did an audition. And if they didn't like what I was doing, they had the right to not have me up in their bar. And there's a big difference when you have to audition because then you're getting the bar owners and bar managers getting what they want as far as quality of dancer. And the dancers know that you're competing with people on the level that you're at or what this bar wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no tricking out of the bar. Even though chicks have been tricking forever, there was, if you were caught tricking out of the bar, you were fired. If you were caught doing drugs in the bar, you were fired. The only thing you were allowed to do was alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a job.
Yeah.
So, like I said, when I do go up in there, Eve's Angels, I want to give the big shout out to, but when I finally do start working with them, I will probably be banned from bars. And I have no problem with that.
Mm.
Because I think more women realize this is not the norm. Here in the city of Detroit, you have to pay to have a dance license. I don't know what it is now. It was $30 a year when I was dancing. That was back in the 90s. And, you know, it's probably 100 now. And, I mean, what people don't realize, dancers in the city of Detroit are printed. They're printed every single year to get their dance license. And I left the industry gracefully. I have no regrets of anything I did. I made nice money. But I also knew when to get out. I did not want to be forced out. I left at a very good time. I left on a very high note.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the announcement, you know, we made the announcement a month ahead of time, hey, I'm retiring, I'm not doing it. And it felt good because when I went to go get my final paycheck, you know, there's nothing like walking into any establishment and they're like, and I won't say what my stage name was, but, you know, they're like, hey, this person's in the house. And I had customers who saw me in my regular street clothes. It was like, hey, come sit with me, come chill for a while. And I was like, yeah, you know, I got to go through this. And it's like, going to have a few drinks. And customers were asking me, who would I recommend, you know. And the girls appreciated it, you know. But it wasn't just me. Anytime I retired like that, you appreciate it when they came back to just chill for a minute. And I was able to do that for about 6 or 7 months comfortably for me. I didn't do it too often, but I would sit there and, you know, I still had girlfriends who worked up in there. I still had customers who were up in the bar. I met one of my mortgage guy. I met quite a few investment people. You got to realize when I worked in the bar, that's when you had real business things going on. So I knew a lot of people in the investment and mortgage industry from being up in the bar. It was just a big difference. And those were people who, when I transitioned out, you know, were telling me if I wanted to do investments, who to talk to, if I was looking for a mortgage, who to talk to, how to invest my money, the different things, if I needed a car, who to talk to, all the things that people don't think about.
Wow. That's deep. I love that. I love these answers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love these answers. Very informative, seriously.
Yes. It's
very good. Very articulate. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, Miss B, with Canada being so close to Detroit, is Canada not more aggressive as far as strip clubs?
Canada has their own rules and regulations, and
I really can't say how they are, because for anybody from the U.S. to dance in Canada, just you have to get your you have to get a work permit to work in Canada. It's not that easy to get one. And I've never tried to get one. I've heard that the money is better, but you have to remember Canada is all new. So
yeah,
the majority of their bars, the majority of their bars are all new. Therefore, I couldn't speak because I would never go all new. You know, going topless is enough for me. I just don't think I want the world seeing my kitty cat for tips. You know, that's a personal preference of mine.
Yeah.
Some people say showing my titties are enough. I'm showing a lot, but see, I can see titties on TV. You don't see kitty cats on TV on a daily basis, so that has been my biggest thing, you know. I am comfortable with my body, but I don't think I would ever be that comfortable to put my body out there like that. And like I said, I did at one point look at going to Canada to work, but they are all—they're all new. I don't even know now what, because now you got to have a passport. So I don't even know if, you know, it's probably even more stringent than it used to be, because you got to have a passport to even go to Canada.
I know,
back in the 90s.
Yeah. You do. Yeah.
You have to have a passport to go to Canada.
Yep.
So,
with
that, you know, I could tell you a lot of people here in Michigan don't have passports. Some of them have an enhanced driver's license, but still, you still got to have that work permit. Canada is very, very funky about even a bad driving record. I mean, they are very, very adamant on what they will not allow into their country.
Well, I was going to say, it was 99. 99 was last year I was in Canada driving, and it, they were strict even with big trucks.
You know, so it's the whole thing with Canada. I mean, I can't even talk about their industry because, for one, when I did have an interest, once I realized that 98% of their bars are all nude, and I ain't going, and now the U.S. dollar, and now the U.S. dollar isn't worth shit, so it really would be beneficial for anyone to the U.S. to go work over there. It's a lot of pros and cons, but it's more cons than pros right now. And then, like I said, they do have, you have to have a work permit to work over there. You have to have a passport to even go over there. So I can't comment. I'm sorry.
That's the thing. I'm remembering from back in 99 that I know Detroit was that close to a major city in Canada, and I had heard that most clubs in Canada were new. And, I mean, there are some here in the States that are still totally nude, but not a lot.
Deja Vu is the only club that I know of throughout the United States that is completely new. Deja Vu is a chain, and Deja Vu is 100% new. They are throughout the entire country.
I think they are here in a area here in Oklahoma, but I think they are still trying to get totally nude, but have not yet. But I have not heard for sure, and that was about 3-4 months ago.
Deja Vu is the only chain. For anybody who don't know about Deja Vu, Deja Vu is a chain. They are a chain. And when I say, when you hear Deja Vu, I don't care if you're in Cali, wherever you are, Deja Vu is nude. Deja Vu does not sell alcohol. And unless the regulation of the state is different, federal, and my understanding, this is a federal law. These are not local laws. Federal law says that if you go all nude, you cannot serve alcohol. I thought it was just a state law, but my understanding from what I've been hearing is that if you go completely nude, you cannot serve alcohol. I think the only place it does not apply to is fucking Nevada. And that's because Nevada has their own set of every damn thing rules.
Yeah, like the bunny ranch and all that shit. Yeah.
Well, back in 98 in Texas, you could have or go to a strip club and buy beer only, pay a cover charge, and they're going to wear pasties. Now, if you go to another one where they sell alcohol, pay a cover, the whole nine, they go no pasties, nude. But in 98, okay. Now, I have no idea. But that was Texas back then.
And like I said, the only reason, the last bar I went up into, I'm not impressed with the bars here, so I try not to go to bars in Detroit because they're so, there's no cute way of saying it's skanky. You know, the bar owners have allowed such low-class women to come in, and not that I'm some classy broad with a whole lot of stuff going on, but there is a respect that you have to have for yourself when you're a woman in that industry, in any industry, and the level of respect that these women have had, the lower of self-respect is the problem that I have, because I can tell you that I have outfits from when I was dancing. I still own them, even though I probably would look like Moby Dick in them right now. But my outfits, a lot of my outfits were custom made for me.
Uh-huh.
You know, you had seamstress that worked in there. I've been in bars where I've seen two or three girls with the same outfit on, and that didn't happen when I was dancing. It just didn't happen. I mean, you invested in your brand. And I invested in my brand. I mean, we're talking, I have a dress that I wore one time, and that was for my retirement party, and a customer bought it for me. We're talking a dress that don't cover shit, that's all fishnet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It cost $80. A customer bought that for my retirement. That's the dress I wanted. A customer bought it for me. I wore it that one time. And that was my going away dress.
Wow.
And I just think that the level, you know, I had boots. I used to take boots to the shop if I need them dyed. I didn't share shoes. I didn't share anything, you know. Every now and then, if I was really cool with another dancer, we would share an outfit or two.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, nobody wore the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the level of respect that we had. You know, nobody wanted to look like somebody else.
Of course.
You know, I didn't wear weave. You know, I didn't start wearing a long hair and weaves until I got out of the bar. You know, my signature in the bar was that I always wore a ponytail. I mean, you got to realize that was my signature. I was the old lady who looked like the little girl up in the bar because I was older than most of the dancers.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
I always wore my hair in a ponytail, a very long, elegant ponytail. That's how I was. That's what I was known for. You know, now people would see me, they would never know that that's all I used to wear because I can't stand ponytails. They hurt my damn head. But you got to look at
it.
But I created a brand. You have to realize that my brand, when I left the bar, I started my own company. With my name, where I did bachelor parties, and I hired girls, and I had security. So you're talking about, we were walking into bachelor parties where other girls were charging $50 and $60. I'm charging $150 for my girls to walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, boom. That's $150. This was back in the 90s. $150 for 2 hours. That's what I was charging for my girls to walk in. Grant you, out of that $150, my security was being paid $25, which back then that was good for security. You know, that was like a lot of money. $25 to work 2 hours at security.
They were
loving it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
You're talking, security was being paid $25. Plus, you got to remember, that $150, if it wasn't a party I was doing, it was a 50-50 split. So, technically, that girl was only making $75 because
mm-hmm.
I got $75 for booking a damn party. But
yep.
They paid the security. So when you look at it, the girls, I made more money than the girls, but they were happy with it because they got to keep all them tips. So
uh-huh.
It's $150 for the party. They're only making $50 technically because $25 of their money goes to the doggone bouncer, but they was doing what they had to do
to make sure they got their money. And, you know, you're talking about girls walking out of a bachelor party with a G.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
You're talking about girls only doing parties once every 2 weeks working for me.
Huh.
Because the tips they were getting at a bachelor party, and they always felt safe because they walked in with their security. But that's what I did when I left the being in the bar. I took that to a brand new level of having my own business where I did bachelor parties and I had two girls that worked with me. And I charged $150 per girl. So if you wanted two girls up at the party, boom, you drop a $300. And that $300 was paid when we walked in the door. That was not paid afterwards.
Well, yep. And see, that's the thing. I've got a friend that's seeing some ex-strippers, and it's like, what do they do now? Well, nothing. I was like, why? Can't they get a job? Well, only stripping. I was like, why? Well, they're felons.
Hmm.
I was like, are you kidding me? Get away from that shit, dude.
So you gotta realize, help them out. But you got to realize, when I was up in that bar, I had a nanny. And I say a nanny because a babysitter is somebody who just babysits. I had a nanny. I screened my nanny. She worked 3 days a week. And she was there before I would go to the bar. And I would have dinner ready for my son and daughter. So they always had a full, you know, a home-cooked meal. They were put in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but I was doing a whole lot. You got to realize, I also had a full-time job, and I was going to school on top of dancing. So when I say I wasn't just one-dimensional, I was pulling in 40 hours a week at a day job. I was dancing 3 days a week. I was still going to school. And I didn't have a choice but to hire a nanny, you know.
Yeah.
And I tell everybody to this very day, I don't regret it. I have no regrets whatsoever, because when I got laid off from my job, because the same time I quit dancing, I got laid off from my job. Well, guess what? I still had enough income where I was able to take care of things.
Yeah.
I was able to finish school. I was able to take care of my son and daughter, and I didn't have any regrets. I wasn't crying, what am I going to do? You know, and I had my business doing parties, so I'm working once every 2 weeks easily and going to school, and I wasn't suffering. And
then
when I decided I wanted to go back to corporate America, I had no problem going back to corporate America. You know, I tell everybody I have a bachelor's degree, and I have a cosmetology license, and I have a real estate license. So I'm multi-skilled. I'm, you know, I'm just.
Wow.
That's how I am.
That's great. Yeah.
Wow, you've all
that suffered.
That's cool.
Well, I just refuse to be broken. I was brought up, God bless the child that takes care of his own.
Yep.
So
mm-hmm.
I have always made sure that I provided for my family. My son and daughter haven't had to want for anything, and that's why I'm able to do the things I'm do. You know, when I sit here and say I'm going to look at a new house, I'm not worrying about what type of house, it's about where I'm going to move. When I say I want to go look at a new car, it's a matter of, when do I want this car? So when you prepare yourself that way, and that's what dancing in the club really was about. It really was about girls going through school to get higher education so that they can look back and say they have no regrets. I think dancers don't have regrets. I think they do have regrets because they have nothing to show for it. I have not a single fucking regret. You know, I look at it and if I had to do it all over again back then, I would do it. I would definitely do it, because it was one of the things that I have no regrets about.
Yep. And see, that's the thing. Most of the dancers I knew back in the 80s and 90s, I mean, they worked their way through college paying for it, and I know a couple of doctors and lawyers and some other things, but you look from the late 90s maybe and all 2000s, I mean, it was pretty much, okay, easy money, okay, give me some drugs, I want some coke, pot, I mean, all this shit, and it's like, what in the hell are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there was a transfer in the mid-90s to late 90s of career and a future to, Okay, I'll keep doing this.
But I think that, like I said, it has to do with the bar owners. What it is that I can't speak for no place, but here in Michigan, you got these pimps who could never manage a prostitute, but they found a new way of pimping. I'll be your manager. I'll get you more money. How can you give me more money at a bar? You know, but they did this because I can make you a star. If I want to do porn, I'm going to do porn. I'm not going to, first of all, I'm not going to try to do porn in Detroit. But you can't tell these people this because you got these people who, quote unquote, are these managers. And they would hate me because I would go up in there and I said if I ever, ever started a bar, which I've looked into it, I've considered it, I would probably take a lot of these girls away from the bars they were at because I would put them back on payroll.
Mm-hmm.
And I would let them know what it's really like to work in a bar. But then half of them wouldn't be working because I don't want no bitch in my bar with gunshot wounds. I don't want no crack addict in my bar. I don't want somebody who don't look like she know how to eat. You know, every bar I worked at always had a kitchen. And I can tell you that I ate very fucking well. I ate very fucking well when I was in the bar because I had customers who made sure I ate. I had customers who walked in and would drop a C note and say, order food to make sure this table is filled up. And they would tell me, okay, here's another C note for you and two girls to have alcohol. And they made sure that we came back and forth all night and we ate. You know, we never had to worry about that. And the bar owners made sure that there was something on our stomach. You know, they're so fucking worried about that bottom line now that they're not looking at these girls have to drive home or whatever afterwards, and you're liable if they get into an accident.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and
they
don't
look
alcohol, everything.
But we are down to, they're going to cut us off in a few minutes. So is there any more questions?
Yeah. I mean, you know, besides me.
Go, James.
But my last question will be, there had to have been a lot of people from overseas that were from Exotica. And I'm talking about fans. I'm talking about, like, wasn't there, like, other adult industry people from overseas that participated in this Exotica in Chicago?
No.
No? Okay.
Exotica,
I guess that answers that question.
That's very simple. You're thinking AVN, which is open to the industry. This is fan-based. So if you're not a big-name star or a vendor, Exotica is more for U.S. They have their own versions of Exotica overseas, which are called something else by a different company. But, no, you're not going to have your overseas people play Exotica.
Oh, okay.
You're going to have them at AVN in Vegas. You're thinking more of Vegas. Exotica is for the fans. This is strictly for the fans, pretty much.
Oh, sorry. I asked a dumb question.
The fans and the vendors. That's not a question. You wouldn't know. There's no dumb question. You would not know. AVN is where you will get your stars from all over the world because that is the big premiere for the industry. You know, this is not a premiere. This is a way for the fans to meet the stars, not all of them, some of them, and it's a way for us vendors to touch base with those fans who we would never see, you know, and for people like myself who also is part of the adult industry but also have a radio show, it's a way for my fans to see me. You know, because people don't always want to order stuff offline. Some people, you know, to this very day are still leery about ordering, so this is their way of buying the stuff in discretion because nobody knows who was at Exotica. And this is a way for them to purchase products without anybody knowing.
Okay. There you go. I ran out of questions. They weren't like, well, there's one more. There was nobody like well-known, like walking through Exotica that had nothing to do with the industry, right, that goes to these things?
What do you mean?
You know, I mean, like somebody that's maybe famous, not real big-time famous, but someone who that's kind of known.
They normally do that in AVN. AVN is known for having people like the mainstream adult industry walk through. That happens at AVN. Exotica, we don't get too much of that. I mean, we had, you know, unless you get somebody, bring somebody in. Now, depending on the vendor and who they know, I mean, we had Howard Stern show up. Depending on which vendor is cool with him, he'll show up.
Cool.
I've had people who have offered to come in for me from the music industry, depending on which contact I've reached out to. Different vendors have different contacts where if they can get them, if they're in that area, to come through who are not part of the industry. ABM, more so, you'll get Charlie Sheen and all them, they'll walk through because they don't mind doing it. Dennis Rodman brings the whole entourage to Vegas. Again, the Exoticas are not really based on that because it's so much about the fans meeting the stars that your average mainstream people don't want to be seen there because it is a much, much smaller venue compared to ABM. And they're going to be noticed and mobbed.
Yeah.
You know, where I've seen Dennis Rodman 2 or 3 times in Vegas. For one, you can't get near his ass. Two, I mean, he's already a freak, so, you know.
Hey, he's a weirdo, too.
I mean, you see him, you see Dennis Rodman walking through, you say, hey, this is Dennis Rodman. Be like, oh, okay, you know.
Let me see why they call you the worm.
Yeah. I just see him. But it's not the type where, you know, it's not the paparazzi type. And that's the best way to put it. I mean, AVN, because you already have your own paparazzi, you got to realize in Vegas, the paparazzi is there.
Mm-hmm.
So any big name stars come out, they come out because they know the paparazzi is there.
You gotcha.
At the Exoticas,
I think that benefits for them too, exactly. Gotcha.
At the Exoticas, because the press has to get permission to come in, I mean, they really scrutinize what they consider press. The paparazzi cannot get up in Exotica without a ticket. If they're not registered press, they're not getting up in there. You can get into ABN without being registered press. All you got to do is buy a damn ticket, you know, and bring your camera in. You know, they shouldn't do it, but they do it. But a lot of times because the press get in free, they try to make sure they're registered so they don't have to go through the hassle, and then they get a chance to have full access to the people they want to have access to. So with Exotica, your mainstream people to come through, they come through based on what, which vendors know who and what area you're in. You have in New York, in New Jersey, you'll get more mainstream because you've got a lot of regular names that live in that area who they may come, and a lot of the vendors who are out of the New York, New Jersey area have access to those people. So if they know them, they may ask them, you know, in the case of Chicago, you may or may not get R. Kelly coming through. I don't have a relationship with him, so I know he won't be coming for me, you know. But if I had, you know, if I knew how to contact him, having somebody like that come to my booth would be fabulous, you know, because, like I said, I won't name the names that I've had offered to come to my booth. And they were locked into other things. But I've had a couple of big-name people from the music industry where the word went out because the favor was requested, hey, can you come do my booth? And I didn't give them enough notice. You know, so each vendor knows people. I mean, there are staff at Exotica who know how we're starting. They can get them to come through. So it just really depends on where the location is and what vendors know who, because you never know what vendors know whatever or who they know. And like I said, Vegas, it doesn't matter who you know. Mainstream does Vegas because the paparazzi is there. And, you know, if they want the paparazzi to know they're freaks, that's what they do. They hit AVN.
Mm-hmm.
For Exoticas and stuff like that, if they know somebody, they'll normally just make a phone call and say, can I get this or whatever. I've had people come and ask me for certain things. They won't say who it's for, and I'll put together later on who it was for.
It's more of a low-key then, isn't it?
Yes.
In a roundabout way?
It's extremely low-key. I mean, this is where, as they say, nobody knows who you are. Unless you're a vendor or you're part of the adult industry, the fans who come up in there don't know each other from Jack.
Yeah.
You know, and they like that discretion.
Hell, I was going to say, shit, I might be a freak, but shit, Rodman, man, that dude is a space freak.
Yeah, you're not a freak. Well, you're just a guy.
But you have to realize that Exotica, this is the one place where you have a lot of your transgender people come, your transsexuals, your cross-dressers. Remember, Exotica, just like ABN now has the dungeon. So you have a lot of slaves and subs that are up in there. And when you're talking about
slaves and your subs. I'm talking about male and female slaves and subs that are up in the dungeon. And if you don't know how to deal with that particular culture, and I call it a culture because BDSM is a full culture of their own. And if you're not part of that community, you best better know how to deal with that community. And I'm just very blessed that I know how to deal with the community. I have friends in the community, so I know the respect of what it goes with that community. So for me, I guess I don't, nothing shocks me when I see it. I'm not, nothing happens that I don't realize.
Gotcha.
Because of me being around that industry. But you have a lot of people who do not live that way, that lifestyle on a daily basis, who come to places like Exotica. You will see more men cross-dressing at Exotica. You will see more women cross-dressing. You will see more flamboyancy.
Oh, wow.
Forest extremes. You will see a whole lot of that there. You will, I swear, women who probably should never put a corset on, put on corsets at Exotica. I've never seen so many variations of corsets in my life. And attire that probably should never be worn in public. You know,
wow.
So that's what Exotica is, the extremes of the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
On top of the adult industry being there. I mean, you've got pictures of me molesting another woman. I mean,
I've seen that, yeah. More than once.
I was given permission. Remember,
oh,
I was given permission.
Of course.
That would have been funny. Just like, yeah, I just wanted to feel your titties. Oh, sorry. Oops, where am I in trouble?
And thanks to James, hey, the purple wand, nice.
Oh,
thank
sorry.
You.
See, sorry. Okay. That's good. So you see, we made up for a
okay,
time.
We
made up for lost time.
We gotta shut down.
Yeah, we made up for lost time.
Because you know they're going to shut us down.
Maybe they haven't already. But this is one of the most diverse shows and longest ones we ever did.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
This is awesome. This was
okay,
great.
Okay,
so
I'm gonna do the close out.
Yes, do that.
Because for everybody who's still listening. Because for whatever reason, no, I'm just saying, because the chat room was really weird tonight. I don't know what's going on with the chat room. Normally,
okay.
We didn't get our normal guests up in the chat room, but
because of the weather out here.
Next Tuesday.
Maybe. I don't know.
Next Tuesday, we've got the sexy Tory Lane coming on.
Yes.
I'm going to quiz her on, see if she did her homework. You guys have to listen to the show to find out what I'm talking about.
Okay.
We have Tara Patrick. On the 29th,
yes.
We'll be on.
Nice.
And we have August 5th, CJ Strokes. CJ Strokes coming on. And then I'm going to finally take a break, I believe. My break,
you deserve
it. Because I had to get people in, but that'll be
you
a short
break
for us.
Oh, yeah.
So, where we were supposed to be on break next week, we're going to wait until August to take the break, and I think August will probably be good because the school year will be starting back, so we'll probably take the last 2 weeks in August and come back after Labor Day, and I promise I won't book nobody else until after Labor Day for that, because if I don't take the break, I'm going to scream. Listen on Thursday to Ask Miss B Sports, where we talk about sports, and more sports with a little bit of sex. And I will talk to...
Imani Rose
tomorrow.
We'll
talk to everybody.
And tomorrow you're on Imani Rose's show. Yes.
Yes, tomorrow I will be on, what is this, Sex in the Biz? Sexy
in
the Biz. Or Sex in the Biz?
Sexy
and Biz.
That's sexy with the N and Biz.
And I will be on there tomorrow night. Don't ask me what time because I've gotten conflicted times. So I'm not going to sit here and try to figure it out.
It starts at 7.
All I know, I will be there.
It starts at 7, so it might be 7:30 instead of 8:30. So I'm just saying. We'll find out what's going on. But you will be on live on Dollhouse Radio. Yes.
Yes.
I'll be listening.
It will only be for about 10 or 15 minutes, but I will talk to everybody. So everybody have a good week, and we will be talking to you probably
yes.
on Thursday.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Hey, later, Randy. Later, Greg.
Later.
Later. Ladies and tomatoes, everybody.
Mm. Cheers, guys.
Yes.
Great.
Oklahoma Thunder.